Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday, November 17, 2011. This is Aaron Dyke sitting in. Alex is going to be back tomorrow, and he should also be popping in later in the hour. Now, we have a different kind of broadcast for you here today. First of all, we're going to cover a lot of the geoengineering and chemtrails material. Two nights ago on the InfoWars Nightly News, Alex and I hashed through a lot of the material, including lots of academic papers, lots of unreleased proposals, patents, and other prima facie evidence that this stuff has been going on and that we are really just kind of regarded as little people who don't need to know the real reasons, all under the cloak of global warming. You've seen these great films like What in the World Are They Spraying, which we carry here at InfoWars. And we're going to get into that here in the first hour. We're going to play clips from that show and get into a lot of the documents. We're also going to cover the totally censored episode of Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory, the police state episode, covering the establishment of FEMA camps, visiting a lot of the prisons that have also been designated for use during emergencies of whatever kind, all while we see the very real takeover of the feds going on nationwide. Among other issues, we see Homeland Security playing a role in ousting Occupy Wall Street protesters. Now Kurt Nemo reports that they're making secret arrests at Occupy Wall Street Portland because the feds have a shared jurisdiction over some of the buildings and parks where the protests are going on. So Federal Protective Services under Homeland Security are arresting people that they think have crossed the line. And there's all kinds of other stuff going on as well. But in the second hour, we're going to play some of that very telling, very damning police state episode that Ventura worked with Alex on. Alex consulted with them, and they really hit it hard and covered a lot of important information. Of course, we can't play the whole episode, but we're going to play some large clips, and you'll see how real it already is only about a year later. And we're also going to be joined later in the broadcast by Patrick Henningsen. He is in London. He's going to be near to one of the Occupy Wall Street protests going on there, where police are expected to oust them as well. Meanwhile, they have retaken Zuccotti Park in New York City, and there's big protests going on today. Hopefully things will remain peaceful on the police side as well as the protester side. We know they sent in radical elements and all kinds of provocateurs, I'm sure, in many of these large cities. And we know that the mayors and police forces in these Occupy cities have cordoned together and figured out a plan of what to do nationwide that just happens to resemble it. Meanwhile, you have Paul Joseph Watson, MF Global Money, now missing after reports that it was sent to J.P. Morgan. And they've kind of shied away from focusing on the J.P. Morgan aspect of the missing MF Global money. But we're going to try to cover some of that as well. So stay with us, and hopefully Alex will be popping in as well. Let's get into also Kurt Nemo. Herman Cain courts war criminal globalist Henry Kissinger. Yeah, that's the Henry Kissinger from the Nixon and Ford administrations, the super insider, the extreme Bilderberg attendee, the right-hand man of the Rockefeller family, among other powerful families. And yes, Herman Cain, if you can't go past skin level, if you can't be more than skin deep, you may not realize he's nothing but a Federal Reserve stooge. He was head of the Kansas City Federal Reserve in the 90s while he was running his famed pizza company, which itself was a subsidiary of Pillsbury, one of the more elitist food cartels, and a Skull and Bones family member as well. Anyway, he's asked Henry Kissinger to be his Secretary of State. Supposedly Kissinger didn't want to do it, but the point is that's who he looks to for foreign policy. So if you think that's going to be change, I really hope you can still hold a thought in your head. Stay with us. We're going to get into all kinds of secret information, stuff they really don't want you to know. Stay tuned. This is the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com. We'll be back on the other side.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Back on the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in. As I mentioned before, we have a power pack broadcast, a little bit different than other ones you may have seen me sitting in on. We're going to air what essentially is censored information later in the second hour. That is large clips and segments from Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory program, particularly the police state episode covering FEMA camps and a lot more. And that's important because it aired on True TV, on the cable systems, but only once, and it was never aired again. The listings were pulled. It was even pulled from cable boxes, and there was a lot of behind-the-scene efforts to quash the life of that episode, whereas the other episodes, hard-hitting as they may be, were not quite as in-depth and relevant to the now, and they aired repeatedly over and over. You have to ask yourself why. Alex consulted on that. I saw a lot of the behind the scenes as well. And that information, I reviewed it again last night. It's very strong, and that's why we're going to air it later. But consider, too, the denial you see later in the clip when Ventura confronts the congressman about the FEMA camp bill he co-sponsored. And the congressman says there are no FEMA camps. That's an imaginatory thing that people on the internet come up with. That's a paraphrase, but he says they don't exist. Then he says, really, why is it in the language of the bill? Here's the bill. He says, oh, yes, I remember that now. There are camps, but that's for emergencies. That's in the case of a disaster. So it's this total doublethink, and that's what you see really in many ways, a parallel with the chemtrail geoengineering phenomenon, which is admitted to be going on. And let me try to set the scene for that. Here are Bertrand Russell quotes. Sir Bertrand Russell, he ran with the Fabian Socialists and a lot of the other high-powered globalist groups. And his quintessential book, among many, is The Impact of Science on Society in 1953. And it's just really opens up in a blatant way the relationship of power that science and other aspects of concentrated banking and industry have laid upon us in the 20th and 21st century. Bertrand Russell said, although the science will be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. He also says in another quote, scientific societies are as yet in their infancy. It is to be expected that advances in physiology and psychology will give governments more control over individual mentality than they now have, even in totalitarian countries. He also says, gradually, by selective breeding, congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they are almost a different species, and revolt of the plebs, as you see now attempted on Occupy Wall Street, would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. Bertrand Russell also says that there would be one kind of education for ordinary men and women, another for those who are to become holders of scientific power. And goes on in a more lengthy quote to explain how if there's even an accidentally intelligent person, they'll be pressured to join or possibly killed. And that's all looking forward into what was to come. But you can see where there's a real truth to that. And you see it in geoengineering with the observed chemtrail phenomenon, which is a layman's term that has come about because the government for a long time would not admit that anything was going on. Just like with the FEMA camps, yet now as it's become more and more obvious that something is going on, there's been testing, lots of observation, lots of cross chatter on the internet. Now you see the rise of the geoengineering rationale. You see a lot of academic papers, a lot of proposals, all saying that it's perfectly good and great as a means of fighting global warming. Now what's really going on is there's the real behind the scenes scientific power cloaked behind national security, cloaked behind military clearances, organized at the top from the powerful industrial and banking interests that we otherwise know about. And they're pursuing one kind of science while the public gets a dumbed down, made-up rationale a la global warming. We've seen that debunked repeatedly. There's definitely holes and questions in it, even if you're still on that side of the fence. Point of the matter is they're pushing an extremely politicized science while admittedly modifying our entire atmosphere with these experimental programs of geoengineering, where they admittedly, in their academic papers, proposals, and patents, are spraying aluminum oxide as well as barium and other chemicals into the atmosphere to reflect sunlight to deal with the so-called global warming issue. Meanwhile, what are the real effects of that? We tried to cover that with Alex, and we're going to play some of that clip right now. In fact, we're going to play the whole thing throughout this hour, and I'm going to come back in with some documents and other contextual things. But remember, Bertrand Russell pointed out how different it would be between the ordinary people and the ruling class. Totally different specters of science, totally different understanding and knowledge, two different species, if you will, of understanding of the world we're supposedly living in. Let's cue up that chemtrail geoengineering special now.
The outrageous tyranny pouring in around us. I feel like I'm trapped in an Indiana Jones movie where the sand of the water is pouring into the chamber. And I'm saying, we got to get out of here. It's rising. And, the yuppies, the trendies, the know-it-alls, they're too busy slicing their arms or hurting themselves or, wearing diapers as adults, whatever little decadence they're into, to even worry about a total global government program that's hiding in plain view that they call testing, Department of Energy here in the U.S., set up in Europe as well, spraying, mixed in with the jet fuel in some of the cases, mounted to government aircraft, all admitted, not condensation trails, ice crystals, no. But barium salts, aluminum dioxide, other nuclei mixed in so that it creates an artificial haze. And NASA admits we're more than 20% darker, less sunlight hitting us. You don't just think they put that in the Matrix movies, 10 years ago because they thought that up about a global plan to black out the sun. But the scourge isn't the machines, it's us. This is part of the UN says, if you don't play ball with them, they'll just spray you and shut down your weather. Now, here's my frustration. I knew they were going to announce global government with this European crisis years ago. It's now happened. I know all of this. I know they're spraying us every day. I know they're spraying my family. I know we're all filled with heavy metals. I know it's hurting us. And Aaron Dykes, I asked him last Friday, I said, get together our research for Dark Skies, the documentary. We may make it someday, but we're just going to go ahead and start releasing the information and reports. This is just a small part of it right here. Government documents, hour after hour of them on video. Okay? And then I just said, look, he was literally out there 20 minutes ago before we went live. I said, get in here. We got to present what you've got. All these video clips, all this documentation, it's so frustrating. Will the yuppies even watch? Will they even care? Because you get into how they denied this stuff existed, but the people that broke down what they were doing accurately named the chemicals that were being used. But the question is, how long has it been happening? Why is it happening? What's the end game? I'll tell you the end game here at the first, then we'll go to Aaron. The end game is aluminum dioxide in all the soils, where you've got to go to companies like Monsanto. They're coming out with whole seed lines that will grow in aluminum poisoned soil. But that's only part of it. It's about the seed banks, the seed arcs, all of this. It's about weather weapons shutting down regions that don't play ball. They're already talking about a Chicago mercantile system that will bet on the weather. Well, it's going to be a rigged casino. They don't set up casinos without putting their finger on it, without controlling it. This is about playing God. This is about world government. And this is about genocide and population reduction. Aaron, I'm going to interject points here, but we've only got about 25 minutes, and we'll come back and do part two, part three, part four, because this is so important. It shows how they can keep something bigger than the Manhattan Project secret. We expose it over the years accurately, and they come out and go, yeah, okay, we've been doing it, it's secret, but it's for your own good. And we admit it's happening, but the details are secret. So you've got the floor. Go through as much as you can, the video clips, all of it. This is incredible information.
Yeah, just like you saw back in the 70s with Kissinger and the food as a weapon plans under national security, you see global warming and chemtrails under a national security proposal. And you'll see a lot of the quotes here of Kissinger talking about food as a weapon, Is the U.S. prepared to accept food rationing to help people who can't or won't control their population growth? They're talking about withholding food aid. Would food be considered an instrument of national power? You've heard the Club of Rome talking about how mankind itself is the enemy when it comes to environmental concerns like global warming and the rest of it. The real enemy is mankind. That is from the 1990s with the Club of Rome group. And then coming up at
that was the head of the CFR, too. He's also Club of Rome. That was Haas saying that.
Oh, these groups all interlock, Alex. And you see here where the Air Force wants to, quote, own the weather by 2025 and more to use it against the enemy and to help their own forces. And it goes on to... it's not cued properly, but Secretary of Defense William Cohen admitting that weather weapons exist, that they can create hurricanes, earthquakes, and the rest of it. So this stuff is admitted, but it is hidden behind a national security pretext, Alex.
Is that the right document?
Well, you've got weather as a force multiplier owning the weather 2025, and after that is the quote about William Cohen and how they are able to use weather weapons.
Well, take your time. I know I said we're in a hurry, but take your time as
right
we get
here,
to these.
Global warming has been called a security threat because it's going to disrupt all these places where there could be droughts or food shortages, and you can guess who's going to be there to create the solution. Here you've got William Cohen saying others are engaging in a type of eco-terrorism where they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. It's real. That's the reason we have to intensify our efforts. He said that in 1997 when he was Secretary of Defense.
That was Army time, Jim.
And the point is, all these military researchers, all these national security people are able to manipulate the weather. They're spraying God knows what up there. We know what some of it is. A lot of it's aluminum and sulfur dioxide and the rest of it. But they've created this
rationale.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, that's just the beginning of this long geoengineering special. Just getting into the military and national security stuff behind their reasoning. They admit the Earth is dimming. Stay tuned. There's a whole lot more on the other side. Infowars.com. We're going to cover it all today.
Ira Hayes, call him drunken Ira Hayes, he will answer anymore, not the whiskey drinking Indian nor the Marine that went
to. We are back on the Alex Jones Show, Aaron Dykes sitting in. We are expecting Alex to pop in sometime later in the broadcast. We'll see what time that is. We're going to try to take some calls as well. And we have Patrick Henningsen, an InfoWars writer, joining us later in the broadcast. And there is news such as this analysis piece. The technocratic revulsion begins. Photos and video as thousands of Italians protest Mario Monti's banker government. And Mario Monti is a very transparent banking puppet. He's been attending Bilderberg as long as my research on it goes back for quite a long time. I've been following it intently since at least 2006 when I went with Alex to Canada in Ottawa for the Bilderberg meeting. We were held at the border, and Mario Monti is very much on the inside of that banking clique. Now he's taken over Italy and proposes a technocrat's government. There's people protesting. At least one of the protesters said, "We don't want the banks to rule, and Monti's government is not the solution." And it's definitely a situation where the bankers would rule. I heard Gerald Celente on the program yesterday. I really liked his quote that technocrats are just bureaucrats who know how to use computers to cook the books. That's a close paraphrase. I don't know if it's word for word, but he's definitely got a point there. Now, we're in the middle of examining geoengineering and what the layperson has come to call chemtrails. And it's something that independent researchers have latched onto for more than a decade, really said, what are they spraying and why? And those people have been told, you're crazy, this isn't happening. At the same time, you've had a flutter of news for the past, almost a decade. And here we have the BBC News talking about headline, why the sun seems to be dimming. And they go on to talk about the solar energy reaching the surface and how they're trying to offset that due to global warming. You have Earth's dimming skies before and after. That's in Wired Science in 2009, March 13. And you can see a picture side by side with the Golden Gate Bridge where the shade of the sky has changed due to spraying things into the atmosphere and otherwise trying to modify the solar radiation coming to Earth, because they think that is the way to fight global warming, and it will have all kinds of unforeseen consequences, or perhaps they are foreseen. Again, as I pointed out, just based on the Bertrand Russell quotes alone, we really don't know what this so-called government's up to anymore. We do know about their policy papers and all the rest of it. And we're going to get back into that clip, the expose that I did with Alex on the nightly news from the previous broadcast. But we have unilateral geoengineering. That's the Council on Foreign Relations workshop, where they put forward the same strategies that Nobel Prize winner Paul Crutzen put forward to spray sulfur into the atmosphere. They talk about producing low-lying clouds based off ocean mist. They talk about other ways to change what they term albedos. Albedos is just a fancy word for reflectivity. So they want to change the Earth's physical surface from darker shades to more reflective light shades. That means changing buildings, building codes, pavements, massive money we're talking about here potentially. And they also want to launch solar reflective mirrors into the Earth's orbit, into space, and a massively expensive project that obviously would have military overlays as well. And that's really the point here. Behind the curtain of national security, there is another agenda with this geoengineering. It has to do with controlling the population and dominating in a military capacity, among other things. But it's sold to us after a lot of complaining about what are these chemtrails, etc., on the pretext of fighting global warming. And just to put that into perspective, you also have Dennis Kucinich's bill, H.R. 2977, that he proposed back in 2001. And keep in mind, this was, I guess, a year after the Project for a New American Century, PNAC, put out their document on the 21st century American empire, rebuilding America's defenses, which, among other things, talks about using biochemical weapons and about dominating in space, about owning space. There's also the Air Force document, Owning the Weather by 2025, using weather as a force multiplier. So they are using weather for military dominance capabilities. We know they've been doing that at least in a testing phase since the early 20s, both on the Russian and American side with cloud seeding. We've talked to the experts, and we're going to get into that. But Dennis Kucinich's bill talks about banning exotic weapons, high-frequency weapons, space weapons, and quote-unquote chemtrails. He was just absolutely assailed over that. You know, they tried to tarnish his reputation, but in the end, there's a lot of truth to it, isn't there? We're going to play more of those clips on the other side. Stay tuned. We're back on the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com. Aaron Dyke sitting in here. Here in the long segment, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of this geoengineering discussion Alex and I had on the Infowars Nightly News. It's very groundbreaking. There's a lot of documentation in there. Even this one playing will not be enough. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, which should be very easy right now because we have a trial going on this month, and later we have a special for Christmas time where you can get a very cheap package deal for a year subscription. You can also get it with the DVDs and the year subscription for $129.95, I believe. Check that out. We're going to get into the meat and potatoes of that. You want to stop it. You want to look up the documentation to get into it. Because even here on the show, even on the nightly news, we can't begin to get into it. Alex asked me to come on because I have all these documents compiled just related to the admitted geoengineering programs going on and the attempt to see what's going on behind the scenes of that matrix. Because you've got a lot of politicized science, a small niche of the same scientists who are heard at the Council on Foreign Relations and in all these politicized science groups fronting for the global warming thing, assuming on a logical fallacy that all those conclusions are correct, and then moving forward with these radical geoengineering, spraying things into our atmosphere, forever changing the makeup of our atmosphere proposals. And they're doing it, they're testing it, and now they've had hearings on regulation, as you'll hear in the clip, but they've decided not to ban that testing. There's currently no regulation over geoengineering testing, and they really aren't telling us that much about what's going on. Let's cue the rest of that clip now.
Spraying God knows what up there. We know what some of it is. A lot of it's aluminum and sulfur dioxide and the rest of it. But they've created this rationale that it's going to solve global warming. Now let's go.
That's just their cover. They always denied it until 3 years ago. Now they go, we were doing it, but it's secret. It's to save the earth. We're peace snakes. We're peace prize winners.
Yeah. And they admit one of the leading researchers of this whole geoengineering thing is David Keith, and he's got a paper explaining how the cloud seeding for the U.S. and for the Soviet Union goes back to the 20s. And we have clips, I know, from Ben Livingston, if we want to play
some of that. Yeah, this is Ben Livingston, who was the father of weather weapons. And I saw him in a little blurb in an article when they declassified that in the mid-60s they'd certified Stanford, and he'd done it as a meteorologist. This is a guy in like World War II flying into typhoons. I mean, he's a real trailblazer. It was like almost, I think it was 90 when I interviewed him. I think he's still alive, but yeah, this was like 6 years ago. And, you know, the point with Livingston was they could control, steer, create hurricanes in the 60s. So it just shows how far this stuff's come. Let's go ahead and go to that clip.
My name is Ben Livingston. I'm the first person to ever see the cloud with the intention to cause it to do military damage. I know I can say that, and I did it several times before the next person did it. We were doing quite a lot of testing work out over the test range at China Lake, California, where we dropped cloud seeding flares or silver iodide generators into clouds or just wherever we wanted to see what the reaction was. And it was there when I learned for sure that you could really change a cloud by the amount of silver iodide you put in and where you put it.
These are cloud seeding dispensing units on the side of C-130s. As you can see, they, these units held 52, these dispensers held 52 units.
We were the first ones to fly into hurricanes for the purpose of modifying them, if you will. That was Project Storm Fury. I began to be extremely confident that we could do whatever we about what we wanted to with a hurricane. The Project Storm Fury had been going on since 1961, and they had already done or had done two experiments, one in 61 and 63. Well, by 1964, when I was there in 1964, I wrote the plan and started to have them track and a mission for every flight that was on the hurricane cloud seeding experiments. So we had documentation for everything. Operation and Project Storm Fury are very positive. This report said that we claim they should consider now. If
okay, that's just a short excerpt from an interview I did 6 years ago with Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons. We're just demonstrating this exists, the cloud seeding, how they do it, moving right along, back to Aaron Dykes, because this is all going on, and you're supposed to just worry about football all day or what Lindsay Lohan's doing. I'm sorry, because what they admit they're spraying is brain damaging the population as neurological disorders go off the charts, as the honeybees die, you name it. Aaron Dykes, continue with your report while we show some footage of videos we were sent from around the world of the geoengineering program.
But Alex, you said this is brain damage. I guess, remember, this is all for global warming. It's for our own good. And so you've got all these seemingly wacky proposals to shoot air balloons that spray stuff in the atmosphere, to have little ships that float on the ocean and spray stuff in the atmosphere, to put a hose up into the atmosphere, to have solar reflective things in orbiting the Earth in outer space.
They're just setting the precedent that they control weather.
Yeah, and you've heard them talk about how they want to control the space for the 21st century fight. This is all part of that. It's cloaked under national security and this global warming excuse. And among their other crazy plans is this albedo's plan to inject particles into the atmosphere and the stratosphere to reflect the radiation. Now, that alone will cause a disruption with the radiation forcing, which will change the weather perhaps in unpredictable ways. They know that, but they're still pursuing it because it's their best cover story.
Only one part. They've got the magnetic field generators, they now admit, in China, Dubai, other places, that are just copies of HARP that are energizing the atmosphere.
But naturally, people have seen the stuff sprayed into the sky, asked questions about it, and as they're proven correctly, want to know more. Well, it all falls under this albedo's plan. I know we have all these clips here about global dimming and about how shooting sulfur into the atmosphere is going to help that process, and it goes on from there.
But isn't it more trendy just to be into acting cool? I mean, why should we even worry about this? Oh, here's some more articles. Yeah, the solar shield. Now that we've exposed this, oh, we are doing it. We're saving you. We've just been testing it.
Yeah, and they're doing it. And here you see Bill Gates. He not only wants to steer hurricanes, but he's funding the plan to shoot stuff into the atmosphere.
Yeah, none of us have property
clouds.
Rights. None of us have don't have a right to not breed this because the little control freak chicken neck eugenicist who daddy runs Planned Parenthood says we're going to breathe it.
So you see again and again academic papers about modifying clouds, creating artificial clouds. You can read them for yourself. You've got preventing global warming by increasing cloud albedo. This is just a few selections because, as you saw, there's literally hundreds of documents. But here, Paul Crutzen, he won a Nobel Prize, and he's very much at the forefront of this whole thing. He's talking about albedo enhancement through stratospheric sulfur injection. He admits they're going to shoot sulfur particles into the stratosphere and atmosphere to try to cool the planet. And that's one of the main proposals that's tied to this spraying from the planes, because you've also got this one from Jay Gorman about how the stratospheric injection of aerosols can be done with fuel additives, aviation fuel additives. The paper describes the selection and preliminary testing of chemicals that might be used as aviation fuel additives to inject these products, sulfur dioxide and micron-sized silica particles, into the stratosphere from commercial or military aircraft. They admit they're testing it, and when it's tested, they have...
Well, this whole program they call testing, well, when is it coming up where they admit they mix it with the jet fuel, the patents?
This is the one right here. Atmospheric testing could be started almost immediately. Separately, there's other patents where they kind of sketch out ways that they can mix powder and create contrails, such as this one.
Here, guys, let's hit pause on that. Incredible job, Aaron. You've really overdone it as usual. You're calling this just the tip of the iceberg. This is quite an iceberg. Here's some of the patents on the jet engine and how it disperses the sulfur dioxide, the aluminum dioxide, so you can enjoy the massive increases in neurological disorders now plaguing everyone. And this is an InfoWars article from just about a year ago, back last December. And then it lists all the patents, 16191832045865. I mean, folks, don't.
I think there's literally a couple hundred patents.
Yeah, don't. Listen, spend your time. I know TV said it was a conspiracy theory. Why don't you go to the U.S. government patent office? I mean, really, learn.
But then people are going to nickel and dime that this wasn't the one they chose to go with. The point is, they have massive amounts of researchers.
The point is, they admit they're testing it. When we learned the name of the passive aerosol program, we found out it's huge. It's going on. All I know is 15, 16 years ago, trails didn't sit there all day. They admit our Earth's dimming from this. Let's continue. Hurry. There's so much more.
Well, there is a whole lot more. We have right now a clip from John P. Holdren, the Obama White House advisor, and then from Paul Crutzen, the guy who won a Nobel Prize for helping to push this
stuff. We're going to get to that in a minute, but have we covered this global dimming plan yet?
Yeah, we just played most of
it. Okay, let's play Holdren and the loving Nobel Prize winner. This is the current White House science czar. They come up with this in the early 90s. They implement it right away with your tax money. A bunch of control freaks playing God. Here it is.
We have to keep geoengineering on the table. We have to look at it very carefully because we might get desperate enough to want to use it. The danger, of course, with geoengineering is the one I was referring to a moment ago. We don't understand the system well enough to predict its responses in detail.
In the first place, we have to reduce the emissions of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And what can we do then? If that is the case, then maybe we are forced to do something in the stratosphere, and that is to deposit sulfur in the stratosphere. sulfur particles in sulfate-containing particles in the atmosphere reflect solar radiation that will cool the Earth. And artificially, we can think of bringing sulfur in the stratosphere at altitude near 25 kilometers, where they then would lead to sulfate particle formation and cooling of the Earth.
Incredible, Aaron. They bring up this made-up crap about global warming or any climate change is unusual. And it's really just their excuse when you get deeper in the documents for weather warfare against the third world. But just like Obama's the peace president waging war, it's just a total cover story.
Yeah. I mean, for example, they were going to shoot laser particles to blast away the CFCs back in the late 80s and stuff. I mean, take, for example, this out of Porton Down, where somebody wrote asking about the open-air release of zinc-cadmium sulfide in the 50s and 60s, and they say, yeah, we're sorry, but the military reserves the right to open-air test really anything they please.
Yeah, that's U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1520A. Let's show a document cam of this. Here's over in England, and they go, yeah, we spray deadly stuff on you. Yeah, we spray deadly stuff on you. Suck it. Die. We fry little foster kids in microwave ovens. You bet. Now die, sheep. Pay that tax money. We love you. If you don't love us, you're a terrorist.
Yeah, and so now we got this whole global warming thing falling apart at the seams. The cover story's busted on that. But they still want to push this geoengineering thing as a solution to a problem a lot of people know is phony. Now, the whole point is they've had hearings in the U.S. and the U.K. on regulating it, and they all call for global solution, and it's all mirrored off of the same proposals that funneled through the Council on Foreign Relations, through various universities.
Club of Rome back in the 60s?
Yeah, and a handful of scientists like David Keith and Ken Caldera have been steering this through all the different science groups, getting hearings, but always just pushing for let them test, do not ban, and let's have global coordination. Let's cue up the clip now where the Holdren plan correlates with the CFR plan.
Obama science chief eyes drastic climate steps. Thank goodness he's there to save us. Of course, he says he wants to reduce world population by at least 80% and put chemicals in the water to sterilize us. Obama's plan to geoengineer the planet mirrors CFR policy documents. But aren't we lucky we have these guys? I mean, he says he wants to kill us. It's very nice of him, though. But I guess he can't kill himself yet because he has to carry out the plan first. Mm. It's very nice of him, though. And he's so incredible with Bill Gates. Yeah, there's the CFR plan, unilateral engineering.
These are the same plans with everyone. Shoot reflective particles into the upper atmosphere, add more clouds in the lower atmosphere, place reflective objects in space. Extremely expensive and stupid.
But then we're not supposed to notice any of this going
and
on, though.
Change the terraform of the Earth. Change the shading of things on the Earth.
Notice, Aaron, the old-timers 18 years ago did the testing in the atmosphere and said these exact chemicals. And then they were proven right, and it's going on, and the Earth's getting dimmer. And the neurological disorders are going up, and we've covered in our report that Paul did, all the universities, people saying aluminum's going up, we don't know why, in all the soil. And then after we expose all this, they go, yeah, we're doing it for the Earth, but the details are classified.
But that's good if they dim the Earth. They're more intelligent than we are.
Well, exactly. Well, they know they like to kill us. I mean, they said so. We're scum.
Yeah.
Well, they're really killing us, but it's kind of a nice little thing. They're saving us, Aaron.
But that's the gravy, I think, is you've had stuff like...
You're not loving like they are?
Kucinich, among others, wrote the bill back in 2001, calling to ban or restrict exotic weapons, including high-frequency weapons that allegedly also didn't exist at one point, as well as, quote, chemtrails, the little buzz
term. But we did show the defense secretary admitting they have them.
But now they are holding hearings on geoengineering, which does exist officially now, and they're telling us how good it will be when they regulate it globally, Alex, either using the places that already exist through the United Nations or creating a new...
But I drew a smiley face on it. It's loving.
Well, if we could play the clips now about the international global accords to hold hearings on geoengineering. Government report calls for global authority on planetary geoengineering. That was Steve Watson reporting on it at Prison Planet. And it just gets into all these hearings.
Here's the actual report.
Yeah, this one's from the UK, the House of Commons. Regulating geoengineering. Sounds like they're really going to do something about it.
They're going to make sure they're allowed to spray us with one.
They go on to explain how they have a joint agreement with the U.S. and that their committees have gotten together and agreed on geoengineering. They recognize there could be dangers, of course, Alex, but They need an international regulatory arrangement for geoengineering, as you can see here.
And to make it all legal that they're killing us and cutting the water off to Africa and Latin America. Yeah.
And then here how currently it's not subject to regulation. They admit there's no regulation to the testing going on right now. That means they're doing it, Alex. If you read between
the lines. Well, no, they admit they've been doing the testing. You can go pull up thousands of reports of it. But again, none of these documents exist. It's all a pipe dream.
But here's the regulations, more international regulation between the U.S.-UK deal. Here's from the House of Commons. And they talk about the transboundary implications of dealing with these new technologies.
But as the CFR said, we'll just do unilateral global.
Yeah, well, they'll do both.
And they got drones bombing everybody anyways in countries, killing them. I mean, why not?
They can't ban it or create a regulatory framework because the technology is not sufficiently predictable. And they explain, too, how cloud seeding will be included in this, and they're going to have to come up with a legalese definition for geoengineering. And again, what I'm showing is different reports that all call for international agreements. This one out of the Congressional Research Service, they had all kinds of different...
No, this goes on in the real world, and then we're all supposed to watch CNN and Fox and hear Glenn Beck make fun of us and tell us none of that exists. Kind of like there wasn't a Bank of the World or a CFR or a Bilderberg Group. Now they admit it all. But the global governments to save us, Aaron, run by the very banks that implemented it all.
And, of course, you know who's pushing all these genetically modified crops, the stuff they're pushing
on Africa. They sterilize all the animals that eat them, and we see our fertility dropping. But, again, these are nice people. I mean, they openly write papers about how they want to kill us.
Okay, we're going to be back on the other side. I'll break down some of the things I didn't get to cover and maybe point out how they've got to be criminally insane on top of all their other motives. But we'll get into that, and we have censored police state episode clips coming up, and we're going to show how true it has become. Unfortunately, we have to retake this country. Infowars.com, good place to start. Stay tuned. This is Infowars.com, and we are doing our damnedest to cover information they won't touch with a whatever foot pole in the mainstream media or anywhere else for that matter. Now, there's so much information, I can't claim to be a total scientific expert on every level of things, but I know when something is a lie, I know when there's a cover story going on, and that's what I've personally tried to break down in the geoengineering, if I'm able to make any contribution among the other great researchers who've been trying to analyze what's going on with what's being sprayed in the skies and the rest of it, and it directly overlaps with this politically motivated science agenda to geoengineer the planet in the name of global warming. Now, obviously, there is a huge overlapping cartel of related defense, military, science, and banking interests going on. You see the nexus of it at groups like Bilderberg and the Council on Foreign Relations. You see a strong manifestation in it in genetically engineered crop companies like Monsanto. Just think how much correlation there is between the Rockefeller Foundation, the Gates Foundation, and the acceptance of GMO crops in places like Africa, where they've set up initiatives to push them. They've come up with drought-resistant crops. The same foundations and the same billionaire individuals, Bill Gates chief among them, who have a stake in the global seed vault, who have a stake in weather modification, in cloud seeding, in hurricane steering, the same individuals who have a stake in population control, an attempt to depopulate the planet, who have a stake in vaccinations, and all kinds of other weird science fiction rationales. And I attempted to frame this entire issue around the admissions, the predictions, the anticipations of Lord Bertrand Russell, who explained how there would be different sets of education for the rulers and ruled. Obviously, that would imply also different explanations of what really goes on in the world and what is happening. And that is what we see here today. Now, just in the years 2009, 2010, you finally had the UK and the House of Commons, the United States through various congressional vehicles, and other research vehicles, hearings on geoengineering. This one at the House of Commons called The Regulation of Geoengineering. Really sounds like they're going to try to put a lid on things and maybe prevent science and research from going overboard, crossing the line, opening more Pandora's boxes. But are they? If you look in the report, you really see how they acknowledge there's no current restrictions on testing. Repeat, there is no current regulation of geoengineering, chemtrail spraying, or whatever else you want to call it, whatever else might be going on. Furthermore, they make it sound all nice and neat that they need regulation, but what they want to do is narrowly define the term geoengineering under a politically expedient rationale. For instance, they want to exclude cloud seeding and other sort of like normalized weather modification programs. And I would imagine they would also steer clear of things the public has not as much understanding on, HAARP type technologies and other things, which they've also said doesn't exist, just as with the chemtrailing. And yet it does exist. We're just not meant to know about it or to acknowledge it publicly, especially. But when you research it, you see it is going on. In the House of Commons, there was a joint agreement, as you saw in the video. I beg of you to pause the video, look up the articles, read them for yourself, get your own understanding. They want to set up a global mechanism to, quote, regulate geoengineering while allowing it to go forward because it's such a good idea for global warming. That's all the time we have in this segment, but stay tuned. We're going to cover censored police state information on the other side, FEMA camps and more. It's all coming true. Homeland Security is coming down on us. We must fight back. On the other side, we're going to play some bombshell clips they didn't want to air, but it did. InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is the second hour on this November 17 broadcast, the Alex Jones Show. I'm Aaron Dykes, honored to sit in. Now, we are expecting Alex to pop in sometime later in the broadcast, but right now you really want to tune in. If you missed the Chemtrails Geoengineering Special, you want to find that at Infowars.com or where it's easiest to get at PrisonPlanet.tv. For subscribers, you can get that right now on a free trial. Check it out. See how good it is. Do what? Yeah, and or you could just find it somewhere on the internet, share it with people, analyze it. But also stay tuned for this, a censored broadcast of something many of you listeners have already seen. But look at it again. Look how true it is now. And that is Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory episode of Police State, which covered FEMA camps and the whole gamut of the federalized takeover. It's an episode that got very angry about. There was a lot of behind the scenes pressure, as you'll hear Alex introing the clips pointing out, and they stopped this episode from re-airing. They re-air all the episodes as part of the ability to regain money and recoup the cost and everything. And it also draws in more viewers over time. They re-aired all the other episodes as hard hitting as they were, but they blocked this one. They even went so far as to work with the cable companies. We're talking about the feds here, Homeland Security. We're talking about Congress people getting upset about this episode airing and the information it laid out. And you saw cable companies literally delete the episode from the listings, literally delete it from the repeat, rebroadcast, re-airing episodes in the listings. You also saw the recorded DVR boxes. Suddenly, we had multiple reports, enough to collaborate, that this was going on, and we saw it on our own DVR boxes, that this Police State episode was deleted from where you can save episodes, record them to your hard drive, and they've tried to wipe it out. You can still find it online and share it with people, but what we've done here is try to strip away the kind of packaging and repeating things that you have to do on TV to bring people back in from commercials and the rest of it, and we tried to boil it down to some of the most essential information. Of course, we can't air at all, but we're going to play some really important clips here, and look how true it is. They've got TSA knowingly, you know, with cancer fears over these scanners, but they go forward. You've got these Viper checkpoints now expanding on highways. You've got Homeland Security coordinating with police and mayors to crack down on Occupy Wall Street protests. And as you well know, that is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much else going on. We broke the MIAC Homeland Security reports, two different reports. They're both targeting politically motivated groups, returning veterans, and a whole lot more constitutionalists as potential homeland terrorists. You've seen the whole thing shift from the shadowy enemies somewhere in the Muslim world to a crackdown on American people, a paranoia about what they're going to be a part of. And you know, Jesse Ventura has put his money where his mouth is. He tried to sue the TSA, and he got so mad when they wouldn't even let him have a jury trial, wouldn't let that come to surface. So please watch this episode, watch the clips that are stripped down to the bare information, and get it out to people you know. Let them know that this was predicted at least a year ago by Ventura. Alex consulted on it, really helped get him good information, and look how true it has all come down to. We're going to play those clips in large portion on the other side of this broadcast, but we have headlines today like TSA backs off of independent X-ray scanner safety test, knowing that the truth came out in 1998. And so they have reports as far back as 1998 revealing that the TSA's X-ray scanners could cause around 100 cases of cancer per year conservatively. And yet you have former Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff lobbying for the body scanners. And look what the pretext was, the so-called underwear bomber. Now they've expanded that pretext into highway checkpoints, random checkpoints, because somebody might do something somewhere. It's outrageous. They're trying to control the American population and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. We're going to get into those clips on the other side. You don't want to miss it. It's censored information here on Infowars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're back. We're back on the Alex Jones Show here in the first long segment of the second hour. And if you just joined us, we have a special representation of the police state FEMA camp episode. They tried to censor from television so the boobs would not catch on to what's going on. Those of us who've been researching alternative information know it's all too real that the federalization is creeping in, that the police state is creeping in, that they don't just want outrageous activity at the airports checking us as though we're all common criminals. They also want checkpoints on the highways, and it's all coming to a head. It's coming to fruition. They're going to check trains, bus terminals, passengers on the streets, all kinds of stuff. It's happening, and you've seen the news articles about it. Now we're going to air the presentation that Jesse Ventura and the Conspiracy Theory Show put together, large clips of it, so you can see how accurately it was predicted. And I didn't know about this stuff either till I worked with Alex, and then he pointed me towards a lot of the research. And it's just amazing the stuff that's going on. There's a reason that the founders of the Constitution, as imperfect as this country or its design ever was, tried to separate powers, tried to balance them, tried to bind down the normal tyranny that comes out of men and their powers through the chains of the Constitution. There's a reason that took place. And it's all come undone with this Homeland Security federalization. Whether it's law enforcement or lawmaking, you never want the power in so few hands as we now have with the Super Congress. I take you now to the clips of Police State on Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura from last season, as well as Alex's commentary on it.
A year ago, November 2010, Jesse Ventura premiered his Police State episode on True TV to a giant audience. Normally, they re-air the TV episodes over and over again, at least 50 times over the next year. That's how they recoup the $600,000 or so that it takes to make each episode. The previous season's episodes had all aired over and over again. Last season's episodes have aired over and over again. But not this one episode. And we're about to air here today large chunks of it, because the information contained in this censored information breaks down the full spectrum of federal takeover we're seeing. And it's through the expose of this information that we can stop the military-industrial complex controlled by the megabanks from taking over our society. Congress covertly, Homeland Security, you name it, put pressure on Time Warner, that owns True TV, to make sure this was never seen again. I have been sworn to secrecy by members of the crew and others about some of the harassment and things that they went through. And as a journalist, when I'm sworn to secrecy, I won't talk about it. But it is life and death. I'll just leave it at that. The system doesn't want the public to see credible former FBI agents blowing the whistle on a martial law police state control grid takeover that you're about to see. They don't want you to think about these issues. They want you to believe that America is still operating the way it always did. They don't want you to know that foreign megabanks have come in and hijacked the country and have turned the police and military to a great extent against the population. They don't want modern Paul Revere's to be able to warn people. You know, the night that this actually aired, I had privately told Ventura that I didn't think it would air. I called him at home, and I called his son Tyrell, and I said, congratulations, I can't believe that just aired. I am truly proud of the fact that this aired. And then a few days later, they were told it's not going to air again, and that Congress and Homeland Security were very, very upset. I know why. The congressman that sponsored the Emergency Centers Establishment Act, who claimed that none of it existed until he was confronted with it, was basically destroyed in the interview and revealed as the arrogant disinformation operative that he is. And that's another reason the system hit the panic button. They know the people thirst after liberty. They know the people want freedom. And they're attempting to use foreign outside threats as the pretext to take our liberties here domestically, when it's on record that those foreign threats were manufactured and funded and are controlled by the criminal banking cartel that has seized control of this nation. So I give you large segments of the censored police state FEMA camp concentration camp conspiracy episode that Big Brother doesn't want you to see.
Now, the secret government plan to spy on, round up, and imprison innocent Americans. Jesse Ventura uncovers a plot to force martial law on law-abiding citizens.
Certainly the involvement of the military is something that's very concerning.
Replace the 50 states with 10 giant prison sectors. Fill up hundreds of concentration camps with people like you and me.
They call them residential centers.
Residential centers with fences?
Because they're designed to hold whole families.
The trigger with a disease pandemic.
There's this massive preparation, literal megadeth.
It's not a fantasy. The wheels are in motion. And politicians are passing laws to steal our freedoms and protect the elite.
I'm here to talk to you about these FEMA camps.
They don't exist.
So why was it put into that bill?
Before it's too late, Jesse Ventura cuts through the razor wire, storms the prisons, and blasts open the American concentration camp conspiracy.
I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
Madison, Georgia. Jesse Ventura's investigation of a police state conspiracy has led him here. After weeks of traveling to sites of alleged concentration camps for innocent citizens, he's arrived at the most chilling display of all.
What in the hell is this?
Coffin.
It's hundreds of thousands of coffins.
And if they had to get rid of people or dissidents, they got the caskets for it, don't they?
Yes, and we found stockpiles all over the country.
Yeah, Governor, there are 72 of these fusion centers around the country.
Yeah, and as I understand it, they coordinate information from the CIA to the FBI to the state police as well as the local police.
The biggest problem with all of this is there's no oversight.
And did you know they've been sued? They're supposed to be watching for terrorists, but they've actually gone after protesters.
Yeah, even conspiracy theorists.
Conspiracy theorists?
Yes, even conspiracy theorists. Obama's regulatory czar, Cass Sunstein, has written a paper saying that conspiracy theorizers should be banned altogether.
Obviously, there's a lot more to this. I want to know everything about these fusion centers.
Brilliant. I'm on it.
And get me a flight to D.C. immediately.
Got it.
Everyone had leads to chase. I had a source in the Capitol. Mike German spent 16 years as an FBI special agent, infiltrating terror cells and preventing acts of terrorism before 9/11. A few years after 9/11, he got so fed up with the foul-ups and abuses within the Bureau, he quit. Now he's focused on reining in those fusion centers.
They developed in such secrecy with no guidelines and no oversight, so the public really has no way to hold these institutions accountable.
No guidelines, no oversight, bad enough. But it's what he told me next that really made my blood boil.
Where they start collecting things that aren't necessarily reasonably associated with criminality, that's where problems start. In some programs, even expressing extreme views.
Wait. Who plays God here on the definition of what's an extreme view?
When we first produced a report in 2007 about this, there were 42 fusion centers. Now there are more than 72, so they're growing very rapidly.
What's the reason for the secrecy on their part?
There's obviously a very unfortunate history with police intelligence activities in the United States, particularly targeting political groups. So I think part of the secrecy was to allow this thing to develop before anybody found out much about them.
Okay, who's in charge of it?
That's the best question out there, and the answer is nobody.
That says to me it's ripe for abuse.
Absolutely.
Have there been abuses that you know of?
There have been a number of Fusion Center reports that have leaked that indicate that, yes, they are targeting groups because of their political beliefs.
They're gonna bust you for thinking.
They're here. The thought police. Now you can get arrested for what you believe in. What you buy, what you read, who you associate with.
Right, and they've started a suspicious activity reporting program.
What do we quote and put under suspicious activity?
Some of the behaviors are things like photography, taking videos, drawing diagrams, taking measurements, even expressing extreme views. Originally, the suspicious activity reporting program was directed at law enforcement, so at least they had some training in the law. But now they're actually public programs where they put out videos that show planes crashing into towers and say, you can prevent this by reporting your neighbors.
Profiling anybody and everybody who disagrees with Big Brother. I knew the next step, only I was hoping I was wrong.
Is this a step towards martial law?
Certainly the involvement of the military in these fusion centers is something that's very concerning to us.
Martial law. I'd seen that in the Philippines. The military moving in and taking over our communities, stomping on our rights. And these fusion centers are helping grease the skids.
So, Mike, these fusion centers, they're located everywhere. What's one of the big ones?
Okay, we're going to go to break now, but we're going to be back with more of Jesse Ventura's breaking police state FEMA camp episode on the other side, along with my analysis, Alex Jones, and more. Alex expected to pop in later in the broadcast. Stay tuned, InfoWars.com. To be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down, but in the end run around national sovereignty. Eroding it piece by piece will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. That was CFR member Richard Gardner in 1974, writing for the CFR Journal Foreign Affairs. And you could see the strategy of circumventing the Constitution, circumventing the checks and balances, the establishment of the Council of Governors, the establishment of rural councils with executive branch, Department of Defense, Homeland Security, oversight of individual local rural affairs, taking over this country, and the Homeland Security mechanism in particular, really hijacking law enforcement, eroding the concept of local accountability, and breaking down the whole federalism concept that separated state, local, and federal national government, as envisioned by the founders of this country. And that really is at the heart of this FEMA camp police state conspiracy. We're going to queue up more clips of that right now. But really, Ventura and his crew did an excellent job of breaking down the information and showing how it's this slow takeover. Council of Governors, only 10 instead of 50. The Super Congress really hijacking the authorities given to Congress and the separate houses of Congress, and how it has to be checked by the three branches of governments. All that is being undermined by these policies in the name of safety and fighting terrorism. Let's cue more of those clips now.
So, Mike, these fusion centers, they're located everywhere. What's one of the big ones that you know of?
Well, they have a number of big ones. One of the very slick productions is the Colorado Fusion Center.
The Colorado Fusion Center is my target. I'm on my way. Doesn't look like much, does it? But this is Homeland Security's crown jewel. 55 different agencies use this place as their control center for spying on protesters, even ordinary delegates, outside the 2008 Democratic National Convention. But what else is it up to? Lance Klem is the guy in charge.
I didn't know you were part of this.
Yeah, hit them when they're not looking. So your main function is gathering intelligence?
Is putting together pieces of information. Fusion center means that they take all kinds of pieces of information and fuse them together.
Yeah, gathering intelligence.
It may or may not be intelligence.
It also appears to me to be very ripe for abuse. This technology that you're putting together, how easy could that be used against American citizens?
We don't watch people. We do watch trends.
But aren't trends people?
Not necessarily.
But they could be.
They could be.
We had an occasion to study the Fusion Center in Missouri. And it came out that they were focusing in on people with Ron Paul stickers on their cars.
Right.
Now, isn't that going above and beyond the call of duty? I mean, it even showed up conspiracy theorists.
Yep.
That puts me in there. Would I be under observation by a fusion center because of my beliefs that I don't always believe?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully.
Hopefully not.
First, he tells me they just fuse information. Then he says he hopes they're not watching me. I think all hope is lost. These guys sound out of control.
We've got documents from Missouri, and we've got one from Virginia that specifically targets African-Americans.
Right.
Or people who are against the state of Israel.
Yep.
Or it's really troubling to see someone who has a particular political slogan on their car, and all of a sudden they're on a watch list.
Sure, of course it is.
This guy isn't even bothering to deny it.
And that's really dicey.
Well, it is dicey.
And these policies are universal to every fusion center, or do you run each fusion center separately with these basic policies?
Each one of them is managed separately.
Long break. However, it is important to point out that we've just passively accepted all this tracking and tracing technology, assuming the promise of new science, new technology somehow justifies the fact that they plan to use this against the American people and the people of the world. We know they have prepared for economic riots and many other scenarios, internal revolutions and the rest of it. We know who was behind the Arab Spring. Why do we think it's any different here in America? That system has been unleashed, that beast system, and we've just passively learned to accept it. We shouldn't. We're going to speak out more about it on the other side and against this evil concentration of power. Tyranny always takes over and tries to shut up the dissidents. We're not going to let it happen this time. Infowars.com. Let's fight back. Join us for more analysis on the other side and more of the censored episode they didn't want you to know about. We are in the middle of exposing the censored information that Jesse Ventura was, by the grace of God, able to air in spite of all the interference that would later come down from Congress and the feds, who didn't want this kind of information to get out. We heard about the MIAC report, the Homeland Security reports, targeting Tea Party activists, returning veterans, people with ideological points of views. It seemed theoretical, like it could never happen. Now you've got infiltrations and disruptions of Occupy Wall Street, federally coordinated crackdowns on the right to assemble and to free speech. The Bill of Rights, the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, which were not supposed to be breached under any circumstances, have become the playthings of this hyper-steroid tyrannical body, among other parts of it, the Homeland Security and TSA apparatus. We got to fight back against it. We're going to play more of those clips now with Alex's analysis and the groundbreaking episode they tried to censor and keep you from getting out. Let's don't do that. Let's get it out to everyone and let them know this was predicted. We saw it coming and we got to do something about it.
You know, I've been involved in, I don't know, the 16 episodes they've had. I've been involved in eight of them. Been involved in half of the two seasons. I'm involved in half the shows coming up that are going to air sometime early next year that they're shooting right now. And I can tell you that never before on national mainstream TV have they addressed the New World Order, Private Federal Reserve, the global warming hoax, all these serious issues, population reduction. And they got record ratings on True TV showing the population is hungry for the truth. And the system knows that, so they want to give a tainted version of it because the people are demanding it. The system wants to stay relevant, so they're trying to cover some of it. They've allowed Ventura to go very far, but only so far, because the system is scared. The system knows the people are waking up. And the controllers of this police state control grid do not want you to see this information. And since this aired, we have a governor's council over all rural affairs run by Homeland Security Department of Defense. Since this aired, we have a super Congress that creates all the major bills, including, quote, secret farm bills. It's in the Constitution that bills originate in the House. Now it's a super committee of the House and Senate. The president has the tie-breaking vote. And if they don't vote for the bill they're given, then it just goes back to what the super Congress wanted. Europe is under a new dictatorship. They call it Bank of the World and admit it's undemocratic. This is all happening. It turns out we were right. TSA is now announcing checkpoints on the highways of America. And they're setting them up. It's actually happening now. Streetlights and other systems with cameras and microphones. It's all happening now. And Jesse Ventura and his television show broke it all down.
Imagine dozens of fusion centers, dozens of mini dictators you never heard of, a secret government funded by elite power brokers in the top echelon of Washington. What's the real scheme here? I got an idea when I got a call from Austin, Texas. It was Alex Jones, my conspiracy insider. He knew that June was in town. And when he heard the term fusion center, he went ballistic.
Governor, I need to talk to you right away.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
These fusion centers aren't just to keep tabs on the public and spy on us. They're really command and control centers for the concentration camps that are being expanded all over the nation.
Concentration camps? I knew this was going to get bigger, but I had to see this for myself. I met Alex outside a federal prison in Texas. At least, it seemed to be a prison.
This is also designated as a civil unrest center, and there's 11,000 plus acres in this area controlled by the Department of Defense.
So there's much more potential prison space than what we're seeing right here.
Yes, this is one of the major complexes in the United States for suppressing the major cities during unrest with a financial collapse or during a war or during a revolution in this country.
Looks like they're waiting to put us all behind bars.
note that they plan to use the cover story that these centers were for illegal aliens or undocumented immigrants, but that they would then build them all over the nation, prisons that are for entire families similar to the Nazi concentration camps.
Or similar to when they interned American Japanese citizens in World War II.
Exactly.
That government plan to suspend the Constitution, declare martial law, and round up anyone deemed a national security threat, it's documented. It's called Rex 84. It was cooked up under the Reagan administration by Colonel Oliver North.
And nothing but the truth, so help you God, I do.
June was in Las Vegas with a constitutional expert named Stuart Rhodes. From Honest Abe to Barack Obama, he says presidents have been taking away our rights whenever they want.
Executive orders over the years give the president the claimed authority to do all kinds of extraordinary things, like round up Americans and intern them without due process.
Can we go through some of these executive orders?
Sure. Well, I think the first big one was Lincoln during the Civil War. He ordered embargoes and blockades of southern ports on his own. He suspended habeas corpus. A lot of them don't realize that FDR, by executive order, ordered the detention of American citizens. They were American citizens, but they happened to be of Japanese descent. They're corralled up. Over 100,000 of them were interned for years. No due process at all. But a more recent one, which has raised a few eyebrows, is the one issued January 11th, 2010, which establishes the Council of Governors.
The Council of Governors, 9 state governors and 1 from Puerto Rico. In case of a national emergency, they quarantine the country into 10 sectors and take control from the rest of the governors and state legislatures. If the president wanted to send in military or round up dissidents in a state, his council of cronies would rubber stamp anything. That's why they got picked. They call it a residential center, but it looks a hell of a lot more like a prison to me. Double fences, floodlights, barbed wire to keep people from getting out, and at the main entrance, railroad tracks, just like Nazi Germany.
Halliburton and others have gotten contracts that they will not only hold immigrants or foreigners in these facilities, but political dissidents. And they're building these centers all over the country, and they call them residential centers.
Residential centers with fences?
Because they're designed to hold whole families.
Hell of a place to raise a family.
Investigator Daniel Kukin is on the road in California, searching for other detention facilities said to be hidden in plain sight. His guide is William Lewis, an activist who's identified 800 prison camp locations. William speaks via webcam. He reveals that a bill in the U.S. Congress, H.R. 645, calls for the creation of these camps. They'd be run by the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Any kind of military base can be converted into a camp. The first thing that you need is a secured perimeter, a fence with barbed wire portion turned inward to keep people in instead of keep people out, some type of a guard tower, some type of an airfield, nearby rail line or train tracks, smoke towers, just like the Japanese internment camps of the 1940s. So my question is, who are they going to put into these camps? I have a feeling that it's going to be people like you and me.
Who do we talk to here? Can we walk in? Locked? It's locked. We can't even go in. Hello?
It took a while. But finally, someone came out, the spokeswoman. What is this place?
This is the Tidon Hotel Residential Center.
Residential center?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It looks like a prison. I mean, I've never seen a residential center that has two sets of fences go around. It looks identical to a prison to me.
Well, the reason I'm here is just to see what I can do for you today.
Well, you can answer my questions.
Well, the reason for that is to protect the privacy of the residents inside.
And why do they need protection?
Okay. Well, I tell you what I can do for you, sir. I'm more than happy to forward all your questions to our folks at ICE. They'd be more than happy to talk.
And ICE is?
And your Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Ah, okay.
And that's under Homeland Security?
Yes, sir. That's
okay. I was getting tag-teamed by spokespeople. Just so I have it on the record, for a residential place, I've never seen one with a locked front door and double fences. It looks to me, it looks very much like a prison.
Well, we're charged with their safety as well, so.
Who's after them?
I'm sorry?
Who would be after them that you'd need double fences and this type of security? You got Al Capone in there? I thought I'd seen enough. But Alex Jones wanted me to visit one more location.
Governor, there's just a little town up the road from here.
Madison, Georgia. What in the hell is this?
It's hundreds of thousands plastic coffins.
So each one of those is a separate coffin stacked on top. There's probably, 20 to 25 per stack. And how many stacks? Literally hundreds of them.
And you can fit four dead bodies per plastic coffin. It's basically a giant body bag.
Tens of thousands of coffins. Officially, they're plastic grave liners. 7 feet long, 3 feet deep, with lids. The company that makes them says they're just being stored for people's pre-needs. Well, who in the hell has a pre-need for this many coffins? Unless they're planning a massacre. If they had to get rid of people or dissidents or whatever, they certainly got the caskets for it, don't they? What would their argument be, though? The place that makes these boxes used to be a research and development arm of Hercules Incorporated. Hercules is a major defense contractor with ties to Halliburton. The feds gave $385 million to a Halliburton subsidiary to build the detention centers. It seems everything that I'm investigating, the trail seems to lead to Halliburton all the time.
Exactly, Governor. The admitted Homeland Security contracts with those camp centers, that's admitted in mainstream news. It's Halliburton. It always goes back to Halliburton.
But it doesn't end there. These detention centers and camps are run by FEMA. The federal agency that's supposed to help us in crisis is ready to round us up. FEMA already has the country divided into 10 regions, and they match almost perfectly with the Council of Governors' 10 sectors. And so these are sitting here waiting for the implement of martial law, possibly.
And remember, this is right outside Atlanta, Georgia, where the Centers for Disease Control is based. I'm going to give you some of these secret government documents that we've gotten from where they admit that they've got stockpiles for the biological pandemic. This is the perfect pretext to bring in martial law using the fear generated by a pandemic.
They'd start a pandemic as an excuse. An excuse to put away anybody who gets in the way of their power grab. The feds would trigger a nationwide outbreak of deadly disease. The bodies would pile up, the military would pile in, and the concentration camp gates would open.
We have government documents where the CDC is preparing for mass pandemics, hundreds of thousands or even millions dead. There's this massive preparation going on for plagues and literal megadeth.
Megadeth. Well, that's one way to put it. It makes you wonder about all the flus that spread like wildfire, how quickly they kill, all the outbreaks and vaccinations, and how simple it would be for the elites to put the plan into action. And we may have arrived just in time to expose the evidence. In the hours after we left, workers began hustling to get the coffins out of there. It was time to meet the ones who are making all this possible.
now I've seen enough evidence. I want to know why our congressmen think we need prison camps for ordinary citizens. They put it right in a congressional bill, H.R. 645. I went to Washington to find some of the congressmen who co-sponsored the bill. First, there was Congressman and co-sponsor Jim Gerlach of Pennsylvania. When I arrived at his office on Capitol Hill, his chief of staff said the congressman would be glad to see me. Until he found out what I wanted to talk about. These FEMA camps. Then Gerlach ran away.
He literally just stepped out of the office as you walked in.
On two separate occasions.
Actually just left to go back in the district.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
How convenient. He says he's all excited to talk to me all morning, and then we go in there and he heads home right after he finishes a vote. Yeah, right. Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee agreed to talk about the bill. Remember, he's a co-sponsor. I'm here to talk to you about these FEMA camps. I'm very disturbed about them. Why would we be building these things all over the country? For what purpose?
Well, we wouldn't, because they don't exist. It's just a figment of some people who have concerns about maybe Martians or other creatures coming to infiltrate our society, thinking that there are such camps. But
so
there are
none
no
of these,
such
there
camps.
Are no such. So why was it put into that bill? It's in a bill, so it's put into the bill. It doesn't exist. There are no FEMA camps anywhere in America.
No, there aren't.
What was the place I saw in Texas?
I don't know what
it was called, a residence. It had two 20-foot high fences around it. When I knocked on the door, it was locked. When the people came to the door, no comment was the answer I got on any question. And what disturbed me the most about this place was in the back, it was like a daycare. There's slides and swings for children. And I said, do you keep children inside this place? No comment. Have you ever kept children in this place? No comment.
I haven't been there, so I have no idea. Maybe
right.
They're immature people.
So you're telling me there isn't one FEMA camp of these in the United States right now?
There are not.
Why is it in that bill?
What is exactly in the bill?
It talks about building FEMA camps, doesn't it? In that particular bill that we're talking about?
I would have to. I'd like to see the bill.
Isn't this guy a co-sponsor of the bill? What's the bill number?
H.R. 645.
Six FEMA camps to be built within the United States. How can a bill state that there'll be six FEMA camps built in the United States, and then I'm being told there are none?
Well, I think I recall now something about this, and if I'm correct, I think those are locations for if there's a disaster like in Katrina. I think that's what it is. It's not any kind of a concentration camp or anything to round up citizens.
Thinks that's what it is? The bill that he co-sponsored says the use of the camps will be determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. They can come and go as they please.
Exactly.
They won't be locked.
No.
They can go in and out because the place I saw in Texas is locked. You can't go in and out of it. No comment. And
well, it's not probably not being used either for a couple
of
years.
Well, we have films of children playing on the swings and the slides and stuff. And this one technically falls under Homeland Security.
Well, okay, we're going to be back on the other side of the break. And that is the most damning part of the episode, where he confronts the congressman who co-sponsored the bill establishing the FEMA camps. You heard the doublespeak. I'm going to break it down for you on the other side. Alex has more comments and still more ahead. Stay tuned. Infowars.com. To the Alex Jones Show. I again am Aaron Dyke sitting in, and you have been just tuning in to large clips from the censored police state episode of Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory program. It's a very good program, but I have to say, if I have any criticism of it, it's the unfortunate way that the repeated clips and stuff distract from the straightforward message. And that's why I tried to boil down in these clips just straightforward what they're saying, cutting out even the very dramatic and interesting recaps of stuff we heard previously. But you see the whole system building towards tyranny. They have set up this apparatus for a reason, and it's just incredible the way this episode builds to the congressman admitting that, yes, there are these detention centers that were set up in the bill authorized in H.R. 645, but those are for emergency. There's no FEMA camps to intern Americans. That's something people on the internet have imagined. That's a little green Martian thing. I mean, what a bunch of crock. And he got caught, you know, right there on camera. Jesse Ventura was in the zone and really nailed him on that point. And it's a very important point because they really want to keep the public out of awareness of this. And if they have any awareness, they want to always throw to pretext, to other reasons, for the reasons why they're being governed by the rulers. Of course, they're going to give the general population excuses for why they have these centers built up. But we know they have prepared for civil unrest. They prepared for this economic crisis that they otherwise set in motion. And they have prepared for internal revolutions, potential riots. That's why they put provocateurs in at these mass demonstrations. And that's why they try to steer it as much as they can left and right. But they know even that only goes so far. In the political paradigm, there's always power to share, and the system in the United States was set up under the Constitution so we have individual rights and liberties, and also so that the power is diffused through the various bodies, the executive branch, the judicial, and the two houses of Congress, the state and local governments. And they have tried to circumvent or supersede all of that with these executively ordered councils, the Council of Governors, and the rest of it that Ventura and Alex break down so well. And that's why I want to cue up now Ventura's conclusion to this episode and then Alex's comments.
They said it couldn't happen here, but it already is happening. And we've already allowed our elected officials to break all kinds of laws designed to protect you and me. You thought we had 50 states? Nope. We've learned there's 10 sectors ruled by 10 people you didn't vote for. You support your local police? That's nothing, not when they've got the military ready to take over. You signed a petition outside the supermarket? Who knows what list you're on now? And what about all these detention centers? Why do you think the standard answer is no comment? And here's what's worse. They're doing it all in the name of national security. Talk about the fear factor. I've said it before and I'll say it now. I'd rather face the dangers than lose my freedom. I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
So that's it in a nutshell from the groundbreaking and entirely censored police state episode of Conspiracy Theory. It's on for a third season. Somehow it was finagled. Jesse Ventura, just as an individual, vowed not to travel on the airlines. He found a way to do it by traveling by vehicle and having other people come to him. And we're glad that's continuing. But keep in mind, they actually censored this episode, kept it from rebroadcast, deleted it from DVR boxes and rerun listings and the rest of it. Let's cue Alex's comments.
You thought you had 50 governors? Think again. You've got 10 regions. The police state isn't coming. It's already here. It's Ventura's summation that scared the system at the end. I'm going to throw it to Aaron Dykes, who's sitting in for me. I'll be back live here on the radio on air. But I hope that you get this presentation and my intro and the information that Aaron's about to break down out to everybody you know. Because since this aired a year ago, last November.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You thought you had 50 governors? Think again. You've got 10 regions. The police state isn't coming. It's already here. It's Ventura's summation that scared the system at the end. I'm going to throw it to Aaron Dykes, who's sitting in for me. I'll be back live here on the radio tomorrow, Friday, on air. But I hope that you get this presentation and my intro and the information that Aaron's about to break down out to everybody you know. Because since this aired a year ago, last November, so much of this, unfortunately, has now come true. The controlled bioweapons release that we know the globalists are preparing for can only be stopped if we are aware of this problem reaction solution system and expose it. There's nothing better for taking over society than a staged bioweapon attack. But the controllers have to make sure that all of their minions are going to follow orders and take over the states and local governments during the crisis. The only reason they haven't launched it yet is because Ventura, myself, and others are exposing it.
And so there you have it, Alex's comments, and we're waiting to see if he's going to be joining us in the broadcast. Either way, he is broadcasting live tomorrow, though remotely, and this has been great with Alex being able to be on the road with his family and still bringing you fresh news on a daily basis. We've also got the InfoWars nightly news program coming up, and that's going to be an important one as well. We've got Rob Dew going to bring you information tonight, and he's covering everything from how TSA knew that body scanners could cause cancer, but they went ahead with it anyway, tried to cover up and obscure various studies, and now they're being banned in the EU as well. That's a good sign, but we know there's other tyranny they're moving forward with. We've also got coverage of the MF global money scandal. You've heard Gerald Celente on this program about how he was robbed of more than six figures, and we know it was hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that went missing. And now reports say that money may have went directly to JP Morgan, who had kind of a trustee status with the MF Global Bank. And Rob Dew is going to break down just a few of the scandals that J.P. Morgan executives have been in trouble for recently. But as Gerald Celente pointed out, when do you ever see the big wigs going down for this? You see a Bernie Madoff or somebody who's burned. He's certainly an important schemer, part of a larger Ponzi scheme, but he's just one of a whole grouping of them. Meanwhile, you have all this stuff happening with the Super Congress, the committee that may pass a resolution to give itself more time, that says it's split over how to break up the debt. The one side doesn't want to cut one part of the budget. The other side doesn't want to cut other parts of the budget. They want to keep the military budget intact. And, well, we're going to see what's happened, but any way you slice it, it is a evil concentration of power. You never want that much power in that few hands. And that's what all this police stuff state is about. It's about giving the federal mechanisms the power to supersede local and state governments, to kind of coerce them and coax them and convince them that there's so much danger amongst the population, so many things they don't know that's going to happen, that they logically should hand over the power and authority to fight terrorism, unrest, and spy on political dissidents to Homeland Security and their sub-agencies, even at these protests, which overall, protesting is a very healthy thing. It's part of the democratic process. The problem is we have been more and more taken over by this authoritarian oligarchy and interlocking cartel system. You know who they are. They're these bankers. We always talk about the Bilderberg-type entities, much of the top corporations in this country. And surprisingly, they're all working together, even on science and research agendas and the rest of it. And that power is expressed in these bought out, heavily lobbied super congressmen. And we're going to get more into that. We also have InfoWars writer Patrick Henningsen bringing us updates on Occupy Wall Street. And who knows, Alex may also surface. Stay tuned for that. We'll take your calls too. The Alex Jones Show. We're covering groundbreaking information. Let us know what you think. InfoWars.com. Stay tuned.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back in the third hour on the Alex Jones Show. I'm Aaron Dykes sitting in. Again, Alex is going to be back live on the radio tomorrow. He's going to continue to bring you coverage, even as he's spending some quality time with his family, which is extremely important, too. This is a very tough fight, a lot of dark news, as you know, a lot of bad things going on in the world, but we still have each other. And really taking it back to the family and local level is a big part of the solution, as I'm sure you've come to terms with. And we're going to cover a lot of news here. I also want to take your calls later in this segment and later in the second half of the hour when we're joined by Patrick Henningsen. And that call in number is 1-800-259-9231. It's open phones, but at the same time, we've been covering all this geoengineering and chemtrails research. We've been covering the censored police state episode and all the things that have been happening in the police state, the reality that these FEMA camps exist, that they've been prepared to deal with whatever sector of the American population they can't control. They've expanded TSA procedures to groping and pat-downs and dangerous body scanners. Meanwhile, they've expanded to highway checkpoints, the Viper teams, the train and bus station, random checks, and all the rest of it. There's so much going on. While so much power has been taken at the executive and congressional levels, all these executive orders are a big part of the problem as well. And so are all these puppet candidates that were cycled through again and again each election cycle as though they're different people, as though they represent different ideas. They don't. Let's get over the hoax that our vote matters and that we have this democratic process. It's been hijacked, people. And so I want to hear from you at 1-800-259-9231. Now, in a historical context, you have people out of Europe in the Renaissance and the Enlightenment and the Age of Reasons and the related movements going on over there. One of those important authors was Niccolai Machiavelli, and he's known for his Machiavellian cutthroat schemes, the kind of real politics analysis of things. And certainly he was a dangerous man, but he was also challenging authority at the time, the various families that ran things there and so forth. But he had a major contribution to Thomas Jefferson and the other founders who recognized the extreme need for these checks and balances, that you don't want a federal government to have total power because it will definitely become a tyranny. Man is a flawed creature, whatever you want to consider him, and you cannot trust any one man or any one group of men to carry out and execute the powers that exist on this earth. It's going to go bad. And with that in mind, people like Machiavelli realized there had to be a balance. He realized there was kind of a natural existence of the upper elite class, what later became the Senate, the elitist families, the people with money, the nobility, the wealthy and semi-wealthy, that they were their own power node semi-naturally. You've also got the actual power of the state, which itself tends to become tyrannical. And then you have the plebiscites, the lower classes. And this middle class thing in the United States, that's new, as is the Constitution. And yet it's eroding away just as quickly as the Constitution and in particular the Bill of Rights protections. Point being, you got Machiavelli really arguing for this counterbalance of powers, trying to diffuse that power, just as people like Thomas Jefferson wanted to bind down that power with the Constitution. Now, if it sounds like I'm repeating myself, I'm just trying to get the point across that things like the Super Congress are a tyranny outright. Things like the Council of Governors and things like the rural councils that have Department of Defense and Homeland Security components overseeing local jurisdictions is a tyranny. You'd never want to give those people that much power, even if their made-up pretexts were true, even if there was terrorism going on everywhere and little hidden people behind every seemingly normal group. What they really want to do is control the population, and they're going to give us any reason they need for it. And just part of that super committee thing is Mike Adams' article today about the illegal super committee now pushing a secret farm bill that will cost billions. So bottom line, this highly concentrated power of 12 members of Congress with the president with the 13th and veto vote really is shaping laws and pushing through things for the typical agendas that they represent because they're all bought out by lobbyists. And that includes the mega monopoly farms, the subsidies for all the wrong products that are harming us. And Mike Adams' article is up there. You've also got, just to remind you, people like Mario Monti, an absolute Bilderberg steering member, Bilderberg group insider, head of the European branch of the Trilateral Commission, and other such notoriety, totally working with the bankers. He is a banker stooge candidate. He's now in charge of Italy. Greece is going the same way from one banker stooge to another. It's a banker takeover on the predicated pretext of this European banking crisis. And that's really what we're seeing. You've also got stuff like Congress, less popular than communism, BP during the oil spill, Nixon during Watergate, or King George III during the American Revolution. And it goes on to highlight how Congress has an October 2011 approval rating of about 9%. Even King George during the American Revolution had about 15 to 20% support among the loyalists. So if that doesn't say something about the revolutionary state of affairs we're in, I don't know what is. Also, Kurt Nemo's article, Herman Cain, courts war criminal globalist Henry Kissinger. And Herman Cain's been photographed meeting with Kissinger multiple times and even asked him to be his Secretary of State if he gets the nomination in the presidency. Kissinger apparently turned it down, but how much does that say about the Federal Reserve stooge working hand in hand with the Rockefeller's top lieutenant, with the total Bilderberg insider, total establishment agenda for the takeover of this country, Henry Kissinger? And I don't know if you remember, it was in either the first or second GOP debates. Herman Cain was asked about foreign policy. Would he bring home the troops? Would he end the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan? Would he curb the other conflicts going on? And now 10 or more countries, I believe it adds up to. Herman Cain said, I don't know what I would do. I would defer to my advisors. And who are his advisors? The same Council on Foreign Relations goons who've helped take over this country. What else do you expect from a Federal Reserve stooge? Of course, all these candidates are bad, except for Ron Paul, who's getting the snub, as you know. But it's just another thing to watch, and so telling when Rockefeller and Kissinger show up in the cabinets and advisorships of these candidates. Just disgusting. And all the stuff going on with MF Global Money. I want to hear your take. Do we have any callers now? I don't know if the guys in the booth are ready with any callers, but that number is 1-800-259-9231 if anyone wants to weigh in. Now, also on the global front, on the war front, on the geopolitical front, you have a U.S. plot to wage Syria war revealed. That is out of Press TV, so keep in mind that's from the Sphere, but still things are going on there. Okay, we do have a caller, Chip in New Mexico. Yeah, and I just also wanted to point out that a top Russian general says there's a growing risk of nuclear war, and you also have other foreign policy news as well. I'll have to find that in the stack. Chip in New Mexico, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'm currently trying to help the Reese family in New Mexico. They owned a gun store over in Gimme, New Mexico. They came in and raided them, arrested the wife. Him, his wife, and his two kids, and they're being held behind bars without bail. I am friends with the family. His mother, I talked to her today, and things are going fairly well, but it's a slow process. They're even resisting letting them have private attorneys. They're trying to fight that off. The district, the prosecuting attorney is. They want them to use state attorneys. And I just want to let people know that the Constitution's gone. If we lose the Second Amendment, it's gone. It's history. And we have to do something. If you would like to interview this family, I also can give you the phone number for this family, the mother, and she will set you up with the attorney.
Right, Chip. Why don't you give the number to the people behind the scenes, but tell us something specifically about what's going on. I know generally these family courts are really charged with breaking up the family and ruining families. But what exactly happened in this case?
Well, they went to the gun store and just literally raided it. They confiscated all their assets. They took all the guns out. They confiscated his bank account. And his mother is when she was younger, she was a civil attorney. And so consequently, she knew a little bit about the law, which did help, but she wasn't a criminal. Since then, they've just refused to let any of them out on bail. They said they're a flight risk, which they're not. These are good people. If I was going to have somebody stop along the highway and help me, I'd want these people to be there for me.
Yeah.
They're just great people, and they really need to get the word out about what's happening here. This has happened in other places recently also. And what I'm trying to do is get people behind this so that it'll move in the right direction. These people need to be free. They're no danger to society in any way. They're good people. and they're abide by the law.
Well, Chip, we know they are definitely targeting the Second Amendment. I'm going to put you in contact with the producers. We'll try to find out more if we can. Let's find out what Russell in Colorado is bringing.
Howdy. How you doing today? I was just calling up to say that I intend to go down after work tomorrow and protest down at Denver International Airport. I think airports are a great place for a protest. What they did to Jesse Ventura wasn't right. People need to get wise that unlawful search and seizure is unconstitutional.
I agree. I think that's a great idea to protest airports. They're just going to grab more and more power. It's disgusting. Anything else you want to add, Russell, or should we bring someone up on the other side?
Well, there's a cool video people can watch online if they visit thecyberpunkfilm.com.
All right. Thanks, Russell. We'll be back on the other side. Patrick Henningsen ahead. Stay tuned to InfoWars.com. Don't forget, tell us what you think about the censored information and the geoengineering. Stay tuned. At InfoWars.com on the Alex Jones Show. I'm still Aaron Dyke sitting in. We're smack in the middle of the third hour, and we've covered all manner of hidden information today from the secret geoengineering program, which Alex and I helped to expose recently on the InfoWars Nightly News, to Jesse Ventura's censored police state episode and all the things he's been trying to do with his TSA lawsuit. He's really been a fighter. I know all you listeners out there are fighters, too. So tell us how you see the fight going. What do you think will happen, particularly as people do begin to lash out, but not always in the most sophisticated ways? We've seen mass protests, but how do we focus people's attention on the true parasite class in a way that understands what they really are, that it's a crony capitalism of government plus Wall Street? It's not just Wall Street. It's not just government. It's the powers we've let them take from us. So with that in mind, let's hit another caller, Matt in Nebraska. Hit us.
Hey, Aaron, what's going on?
Well, doing the broadcast now. So what's on your mind?
Hey, the FEMA camps, they just got one opened in Council Bluffs, Iowa. It's called a disaster recovery center.
Well, we know they can convert just about any kind of military or open grounds into a FEMA camp, and there's more than 800 locations, I think, that have been identified.
Yeah, but they just opened this one 2 weeks ago after the flood of Missouri, but I don't know why it took so long for them to do it. But I'm just saying that they're out there, and people don't want to realize that they're out there. So, and then the gunshot detectors, Omaha got one up, and the gunshot detectors don't work because they just had a shooting in North Omaha. And they didn't close down the school. They didn't lock down the school like they usually do. So, I mean, the gunshot detectors are worthless, and all they're doing is spying on you.
Yeah, and in places like Denver, they do these terror drills where they freak out these children and plan for a massive shooter spree, and then they put out these Homeland Security-funded videos where they say, don't even trust your neighbor, don't even trust your best friend. So are you saying after the floods, are they selling this FEMA camp on the pretext of having a place to take people in natural disaster type emergencies?
Instead of camping out in state parks like most of them have been doing, they've been staying in their mobile homes, and now they want them to come down to the FEMA Disaster Recovery Center.
It's incredible. Yeah. And you saw the congressman in the Ventura episode try to say that's what these established FEMA camp centers are for, but we also know it's for economic unrest, internal revolutions, anything they consider to be out of control populations.
And some of these state parks down here are open all year round, and I mean, as long as they're paying for it, but now the state parks are trying to kick them out and trying to get them down to the disaster recovery centers, which I don't think is right either. So you guys should look into that one too.
Okay. Tell me one more time where the location is.
It's in Council Bluffs, Iowa. If you go to ketv.com, I know they got a story link up there. It's around a lake, up in the lake area, so there's water, and then there's right next to the airport too, and the train tracks. So,
all right, we'll try to check it out. Thank you, Matt. Let's go now to Noel in Illinois. Welcome.
Hey, Aaron. What's going on? Quickly, it's
It's funny. I was at a friend's house last night watching sci-fi, and they showed a preview of an upcoming sci-fi film called Storm War on November 26th, talking about weather modification. A mad scientist goes loose and conducts weather modification and massive storms all over the country. So that's another indication that they're, you know, showing the public or kind of admitting that this is what they're kind of doing to us. And I've been watching weather radar for the last couple of weeks, or even months for that matter. There's a program called IntelliCast, which is run by the Weather Channel. And if you look at IntelliCast, you know, late into the evening, you'll see high-frequency beams being shot up into the atmosphere. Some use the terminology harp rings on YouTube. There's a YouTube user named Dutch Sense who covers this a lot. And you'll see you'll see bullseye rings into the atmosphere on the radar manipulating like a precipitation. But a day, 2 days, maybe even 3 days later, 24 to 72 hours is the usual time frame, you'll see storms hit that exact location of where you saw the frequency map. Do you understand where I'm going with this, Aaron?
Yeah, I do see where you're going. And I know that technology is real. I know they're using it in whatever capacity. What I find hard is to nail down the exact when they used it. Yes, this event may have been caused by that type of technology, or no, maybe we need to rule that out. That's somewhere we need to do more research on, try to get it together. But we know they're out of control. They've got to be criminally insane. What they're doing to our Earth atmosphere and the rest of it. Stay tuned. Infowars.com. Patrick Henningsen coming up and more of your phone calls. Alex Jones will be back tomorrow. Levy breaks. That's a big part of all these plans the globalists have made. They have well-made, laid plans, and they plan to carry them out. Exactly how that will go, we will see. Part of that has been manifest in the Tea Party and the counter Occupy Wall Street movements, which are largely steam valves for a mass awakening, for a mass unrest energy they know is coming, largely because of the economic breakdown and the unhappiness with Washington in general, politics in general, worldwide, and all the lies and corruption people know about but don't know quite which way to steer into. So they have left and right alternative steam valves in place to try to suck that energy and ultimately, if possible, steer it back into the very useful left-right paradigm, which they operate under the Hegelian dialectic. Now, where that does not succeed, that's why they have other plans, such as being able to round us up and preparations for riot control and the rest of it, other excuses to keep people in check, all the surveillance technology. Now they have things like these smart street lamps, which are going to coordinate with federally issued emergency messages as well as just ordinary surveillance at random. All this stuff is going on, and for commentary on it, we are joined by Patrick Henningsen. He's an Infowars.com writer. He's also the managing editor of 21stCenturyWire.com, and he's written for all kinds of publications, including his most recent article in the London Guardian regarding Occupy and how the movement ends up doing the bidding of the global elite. Patrick, are you there?
Yeah, good to be with you, Aaron.
Yeah, good to have you back, Patrick. Thanks for joining us. So obviously there's a lot going on with the Occupy Wall Street movement. They've been kicked out of numerous locations. They've recircled the wagons, and they're back in force. We hope it's not headed towards a conflict, and we hope they're not going to play into the globalist designs. I know you've been down there in London near that protest where police are also planning to evacuate people. Tell us what is the latest.
Yeah, I'm down here right now. I'm at the St. Paul's Cathedral site, which was originally occupied London Stock Exchange. It's now occupied City of London. And I'm down here on the site. The police served a legal notice at 6 p.m., gave them till 6 p.m., and then they're going to start legal proceedings. So there's not going to be any batons, and the City of London police aren't going to come out in their S&M black leather riot gear to turf everybody off like they did in New York 2 days ago. So that's good news for them. So there's going to be a protracted legal battle with the Corporation of London, which is not London as in Mayor Boris Johnson. This is the corporation, the City of London, which dates back to 1067. That's who they're in a legal battle against. And I think it'll be protracted out for about another month and a half. Actually, the Occupy crew here are quite heady. They've got an excellent legal team on board, so they're well prepared for this in advance. They're quite knowledgeable about things. Some of the organizers have told me that they go to Infowars.com for their news, which I found quite interesting and was really encouraging. So that's how they got in touch with me, because of Infowars.com. So again, hats off to you guys for, you know, putting the word out for the last few years. It's definitely penetrating the psyche, and we are winning in the information war.
Absolutely. And of course, it's always been a diverse group, and we know many people are aware of issues like the Federal Reserve. Obviously, if they're targeting the City of London, they're on to the right enemy. I mean, is this become the parasite class versus the plebiscite class, or which direction do you think this is heading?
It's hard to say. You know, the biggest problem that these movements have, and certainly I can say this for Occupy Wall Street, and they're facing the same issues here in London, is they're having trouble focusing, okay? And a lot of times, you know, the climate crew, what I call the climate crazies, they've entered the fray quite early and mapped out their pitch and so forth, wanting a seat at this table. But putting the climate crazies aside, the focus is a big issue. And, you know, I did highlight to some of the people down here. I've spoken to quite a few people today and had some really good conversations. That, look, you know, in America, you had the bank transfer day on November 8th. This is a woman, I believe she's in Los Angeles. She started a Facebook page a few months ago. She said November 8th is bank transfer day. And on November 8th, millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, from what I can gather, were transferred out of major establishment mega banks, global casino racetrack institutions, and into local credit unions. Okay? So in that one focused issue, I think this one girl who started off with a Facebook page managed to make a bigger material impact on the scene than the whole of the Occupy Wall Street might have done or might do by the time it's all said and done. And there's a couple of the other issue is they're debating whether to have a global Occupy movement. And some of the people asked me what I thought about that. And I said, I personally am against anything that's got global on the front of it. Because when you start a global organization, when you make a global organization for offices in New York or London or whatever, you're begging to interface with another global organization, which will be a global government. And I believe that the whole, to go global with the Occupy movement, I believe is a little bit of a trap, and it's really, it's the elite, it's the establishment, and whatever you want to call it, they're luring you into the global paradigm. Okay, now if you look at global government, you look at the UN, you look at global corporations, you look at global anything, they don't do very well serving the interests of their individual constituents. Global corporations surely don't. The UN has two sets of rules, one for the U.S., Britain, Israel, and one for the rest of them. And we saw that in Libya. So if anyone wants any indication as to how just and how fair a global government will be, take a look at what happened in Libya. Look at what the U.N. did. They had a 1973 completely ridiculous resolution of a no-fly zone, and quickly the powers that be, being the U.K., Britain, France, and Israel, and these sort of countries, spun that into a bombing campaign, and they turned the whole country to dust, basically. And now they're carving it up, privatizing it, selling all the assets off for cheap. Greece has got the same issue with the European Union. The European Union is like a baby version of what a global government might look like, to get everybody on one currency, a European a global currency in the future, and everybody is basically stuck in this paradigm, and it's ruled by technocrats. So if you have, if anyone is a fan of anything global, have a look at what's going on in Europe right now, and they'll have a very clear indication as to what they can expect from a global organization.
Well, of all the things you said, I mean, it's obviously the global trap is the biggest thing with this whole movement. You've got this larger economic crisis going on, and we could point to where the globalists fanned those flames, prepared themselves, popped the housing bubble when the timing was right, and really rode the wave of all their decades of financial abuse, looting, fraudulent transactions, and the rest of it. Then, from the problem reaction solution model, you've got the reaction through the Occupy Wall Street and the related groups. And there are the tentacles, too, of all these global organizations who are not only part of the problem, but who are poised to offer these global solutions, including new banks of the world, new currency situations, and the rest of it. Patrick.
Yeah, the global Tobin tax, or as it's popularly called right now, the Robin Hood tax. There's a big split right now in the Occupy London debate between all the sort of people at the round table there about this Robin Hood tax. And I can really say, I can put my hand, you know, my right hand on the Bible and say, I truly believe, and I know, that any global Tobin tax or any Robin Hood tax is basically going to turn into a slush fund, which is going to be used, or the bankers will tell you, we need this to recapitalize banks who are in trouble. So the Robin Hood tax will turn into a bailout, sort of bailout fund. And also, there'll be a lot of money that will be needed to run a bureaucracy to administrate a Robin Hood or a Tobin tax. Because if you think that hundreds of thousands of trades are being done per hour by computer algorithms and automatic, you know, automatic buys and sells, ups and downs, the amount of administration that's going to be needed to administrate such a tax is going to be massive. It's going to create jobs for certain people, obviously, people who are into bureaucracies and into being part of technocracy. Lots of jobs for them. And then any money left over will be in a slush fund, which will be for the banks. This exact plan came out at the Copenhagen Conference in 2009 to create a global slush fund by a carbon tax. That money was going to be handled by the World Bank. It's the exact same thing. That is your Robin Hood tax. If anybody has any questions as to whether that will or won't happen, take a look at the amount of bailouts that have happened since 2008 in the United States and in Europe, including to this day, and they should have no illusions whatsoever as to what's going to happen with such a slush fund. So, and you know, these are people arguing about a Robin Hood tax here, who basically a lot of them are unemployed or they're right on the poverty, the modern developed world poverty level, and they're arguing about, oh, maybe we should have a Robin Hood tax. Instead of anybody at these Occupy movements, and I've yet to hear anybody say, why don't we cut spending? Why does Britain need to upgrade its Trident nuclear submarine missile program? That's going to cost billions. Why does the U.S., why did Obama pass a bill for $200 billion to upgrade the United States nuclear arsenal? There's lots of places we can cut spending. Ron Paul will tell you he can balance the budget by bringing home the troops and closing 300-odd military bases that the U.S. has overseas. So obviously we can balance the budget. So if you're going to talk about solutions, and this is something that the Occupy movement have to start doing, is solutions. Bank transfer day. Cut spending. Start with the simple stuff and then work your way up.
Well, I agree with what you say there, Patrick. Let's bring some callers into the picture here. We've got Scott in Vermont, I believe, has been holding the longest. Are you there, Scott?
Hello.
Hi, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Oh sorry. I'm just going to... Is it Aaron?
This is Aaron here, and we've got Patrick Henry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I want to bring up the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, Gerald Celente was on with Alex yesterday and brought up how the Goldman Sachs is behind every Treasury head since the guy under Clinton, Rubin, and Mr. Paulson under Bush, and now Mr. Geithner and all. And there also happen to be Council on Foreign Relations members. They're all CFR members in all the key positions, including Secretaries of State. Hillary Clinton technically is not, but she might as well be a CFR member, same with Mr. Obama. But I also noticed that they they kind of have us coming, you know, we know they want a one-world government. I brought this up with Peter Galbraith, who's a state senator here in Vermont, and he tried to tell me, oh, it's just a boring talk group. I brought up that the fact that his own father, the famous John Kenneth Galbraith, economist under and diplomat under FDR and Kennedy, he quit the CFR in disgust at the undue influence of it. And I said that, no, they do want a one-world government. He said that, you show me proof of that, and I'll renounce them publicly. So, Aaron, maybe if you, in your writings, maybe you can put together some all the evidence that not only CFR top members have talked about a one-world government and destroying our sovereignty and our Constitution to get their goal, but the evidence that the CFR, they as a body, they mm-hmm. try not to say that, you know, we're for one-world government and all that, but they basically are.
And they openly are in their founding, but they've trained us to lay over and just assume nothing's going on there while simultaneously accepting all their recommendations and their sub-panels for this whole host of issues. I mean, they just rule us intellectually because they're all part of that organized fellow travelers crowd. And, yeah, they're steering this whole thing. It's part of the larger system that we always talk about. Patrick, your comments.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to prove it, and I appreciate what your caller is saying. Actually, the proof is already out there. The proof is out there. You just type in global governance into Google, and you'll get 100 or 200 pages with lots of articles. You'll get CFR policy papers. You'll get lots of think tanks in Washington who have tabled all these things. There's seminars going on right now all around the United States and all around the world with delegates coming from all different countries. And, you know, the climate conference is a perfect example. At the climate, the whole climate conference, the UN Copenhagen and Mexico City and all these conferences are basically, they're laying out the template right in front of you, right in front of your eyes. They're laying out the template for global government. So, and they've used the climate issue or the global warming, the apocalypse of global warming, they've used this as the pretext to say, we need a global government. This is not something that individual countries can be trusted to take care of. But as far as national sovereignty goes, every country in Europe should really know by now that if you give up the ability to at least print your own currency and to be in charge of your own money, you have no sovereignty whatsoever. Greece has no sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Greece is ruled by Brussels and the European Central Bank. And Portugal is ruled by Brussels. Ireland is ruled by Brussels. The only country that has not opted into the single currency was the UK. And that is not by mistake. And they like to spin that in the media is that, oh, Britain just sat on the fence forever. And Britain never intended to go into the single currency because the city in London and the banks, the banks that are here in the financial district are the ones who are profiting off the misery of all these other smaller countries. They have taken all these junk bonds in. They've been AAA rated and are insured by credit default swaps and things like this. And they've basically taken the bait. They have no sovereignty. So, and likewise in the United States was founded on a union of 50 states, and the federal government was there like a housing association, a sort of organization. It was there to make sure all the tenants or all the 50 states were happy and to regulate interstate disputes and so forth, and also to regulate trade in and out of the United States. So America's last vestige of sovereignty lies in each 50 state's ability to be sovereign states. And we've seen the trend of the federal government basically taking all that away, and with that goes the Constitution. So sovereignty is a big issue, and it's happening right in front of us. It's not rocket science. It's quite simple.
Right. And I agree, Patrick, and just to reiterate what you're saying, just on the geoengineering issue, the CFR has steered that whole debate. They won't regulate the testing of this geoengineering stuff. Instead, they want a new global mechanism to regulate it. And here we have the CFR quote saying the goal should be to redefine sovereignty for the era of globalization, to find a balance between a world of fully sovereign states and an international system of either world government or anarchy. And that says quite a lot right there. We're coming up on a break. We're going to take more calls. Henningsen will be with us. Let's jam in real quick. Brian in Alaska.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just about to send you guys an email to show tips at InfoWars. It's called The Sports Facilities Are the Detention/Relocation Camp.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous here.
It's true. I saw it in Denver. Stay on the other side. We'll get more of your comments. We're coming up on a break. This police state is happening, and all the experimentation behind the scenes, what are they really up to? We have been taken over by this national security world government state. Stay tuned. Infowars.com. If we don't fight back, who's going to?
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire.
We are back on the Alex Jones Show. Aaron Dyke sitting in, and here we are in the last segment, and there is breaking news. I'm going to go back to the caller. He brought up an important point about how the sports stadiums are the holding facilities for the FEMA relocation centers. I witnessed that personally when we investigated in Denver, but I think I'm going to have to do the first ever few minutes of overdrive here, because Gerald Celente has sent us breaking information on the CMA's executive chairman, who's issued a statement regarding how no customer has ever lost a penny as a result of a member defaulting in the CME group. Of course, we know there was money lost with the MF Global entity. It says, since we are the guarantor of every transaction that happens in our markets, we have to guarantee the performance of each and every one of these contracts. Celente comments, here's the deal. Not only have customers lost money, they've lost their futures positions as well. And more importantly, CMA did not honor its guarantee. There's a video. We're going to play it in overdrive. We'll take Henningsen's comments as well, if he could stick with us. But it is important to point out that we're going to cover this on the InfoWars Nightly News tonight. Rob Dew's going to cover it. Kurt Nemo has written an article. It's up at InfoWars.com. Celente, CMA did not guarantee oversight MMF global scandal. So we're going to get into that a little into overdrive, and especially tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News. You don't want to miss it. I forgot the name of the caller, but let's go back to him, please. Was it Noah?
Ryan?
Oh, Brian, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was saying that the sports facilities are the relocation camps, and I urge everyone to go on Google Earth or Google Maps and look up their local sports complex and see how close it is to a National Guard outpost and also prisons. Up here, the prison is about a one-minute drive, and the National Guard complex is connected to it, and it's actually an armory. And the way, if you look at it, it looks like a prison camp, but I know they'll sell it as a disaster type of thing because our governor was telling us to get ready for civil unrest and stuff like that. Sorry, I'm nervous. I just really hope you guys do like a full expose on this. I'm about to send you a whole bunch of stuff, but I know you guys have more. And yeah, you can speak on this a lot better.
Well, I'm nervous too about what's happening in this country. I can speak to this firsthand because I covered Operation Mountain Guardian in Denver, where they simulated a terrorist attack on a mall. They simulated a school shooting. And all that was sort of like semi-open to the press and the public. But what was secret in the drill was that they were drilling, taking these students to the sports stadium in Denver there at the Mile High Stadium, which has been kind of renamed and re-co-opted. And they're real secretive and weird about how they were doing drills, about role-playing parents picking up role-playing children from there, and they really didn't want us to get into it. But we spoke with a member of the police department and some Homeland Security people who admitted that was the goal, to get the children there and reunite them with the parents at the sports stadium in any kind of disaster, whether it's a drill or a real one. An incredible call. Please send us that information, Brian. We only have a moment left, but we are going to go into overdrive and cover the breaking information on MF Global and what Gerald Celente has brought to the table. Your closing comments, Henningsen.
As far as MF Global goes, whenever there's a crisis, something going on in the news, if it hits me personally or if it hits a friend of mine who I know personally, then I know that this must be endemic. It must be widespread. I sat down with a good friend of mine in London yesterday, and he told me he lost $150,000 from MF Global. And basically, what happened with MF Global, I posted a New York Times story which hinted this on the site tonight. They wiped out all the small to medium investors. These are all the retirement
plans. Okay, Patrick, please hold your thoughts. I hope you could stay with us 5 minutes into overdrive. You'll hear us there on the InfoWars streams, but retransmission now with censored information. They don't want you to know. InfoWars nightly news tonight. Alex Jones back tomorrow. Let's fight this thing together. InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Welcome back to the Overdrive edition of InfoWars.com. I usually would leave this up to Alex and his temperamental passions to take the information into Overdrive. However, we do have breaking information, and I want to try to cover what I can of it. We're going to do in-depth coverage tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News. And don't forget, we're doing trials right now of PrisonPlanet.tv. So really, anyone should be able to sign up and tune in. We also have a lot of Christmas specials if you're interested in sharing this information with your friends to help us grow this broadcast. Now, Kurt Nemo just put out the article, Salente, CMA did not guarantee oversight in MF Global scandal. Bloomberg reports today that CME, the world's largest futures exchange, may face liability in the MF Global scam that has bilked customers out of nearly $1 billion. Back on October 30th, it was reported that CME noticed a shortfall in MF Global's segregated client funds, but did not immediately report it to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And they were supposed to oversee it, and their behavior is especially suspect after $600 million fell into a black hole, and there were reports, too, that the money went to J.P. Morgan. Paul Joseph Watson also wrote earlier today on the same issue of how the missing money was reportedly sent to J.P. Morgan, and there's suspicions also reported in plenty of other newspapers, including the New York Times. Now, Gerald Celente contacted us during a break, and he has a video. We're going to play it, I would imagine, in just a moment here, and then we'll get Patrick Henningsen's comments regarding how they were supposed to guarantee these transactions, but apparently did not and have even compromised the future positions. You know why Celente's angry, but we should all be mad about this. And as Henningsen said, it's going on systematically in other entities as well. Do we have that clip ready, guys? Okay, let's go to it right now.
It's worth pointing out that there are some segments of our financial market that provided a place of shelter from the most damaging parts of the economic crisis. Futures and options markets are chief among them. They function flawlessly, providing liquidity, transparency, and central counterparty clearing services that continued to work throughout the crisis. No customer has ever lost a penny as a result of a clearing member default at CME Group. And that includes the Great Depression up through the most recent economic failure. Even though CME Group and our fellow exchanges are headquartered in Chicago, our businesses are truly global. We continue to dramatically expand our businesses as a consequence of distributing our products worldwide. At CME alone, we now serve customers in more than 85 countries. We serve them through the CME Globex, the most distributed electronic trading platform in the world. We are standing here today at the nerve center of this global operation. What you see around you is the new state-of-the-art global command center for which CME Globex operates around the clock to serve our clients. Roughly 60% of our employees are involved in technology supporting this operation. In fact, we have invested more than $1.5 billion over the past several years, much of that deployed right here in Chicago. To give you a sense of the scale, last year we traded 2.6 billion contracts, representing an underlying value of more than $800 trillion. And since we are the guarantor of every transaction that happens in our markets, we have to guarantee the performance of each and every one of these contracts, which means facilitating the transfer of $800 trillion of risk.
Okay, that's enough of this clip. It goes on from there, but that's the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and their global exchange. And you heard the man. They were supposed to guarantee these transactions, and yet this money has gone missing after these bad bets. Corzine, the former Goldman Sachs executive, as well as senator and governor of New Jersey, has stepped down. Did he have a scandalous role in this? Definitely a question worth asking. And Salente, again, very angrily points out that not only have customers lost money, but they've also lost their future positions. And more importantly, CMA did not honor its, quote, guarantee. So that's a big thing. And we're going to get all into it tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News. So I really hope you tune in for that. We'll stay on the other side of this break, get a few final words from Patrick Henningsen, and we'll then take you to rebroadcast with all the censored and obscured information the globalists don't want you to put the pieces together, decipher, and understand. Thanks for tuning in. InfoWars.com. A few minutes more on the other side and InfoWars Nightly News tonight. We are back in overdrive, and we just wanted to cover the unfolding scandal with MF Global and surely many other entities as these banks and hedge fund places and betting places are coming up short on their economic thing bets as the whole system is so leveraged out that they can't even be called on their obligations. And that's basically what's happened here. You had a game of musical chairs come to a stop, and they were short, not of the globalist money, not of the elites, not the big billionaire players who got word to apparently move their money before MF Global in particular went bankrupt. You had regular customers losing their funds, and you've heard about it from Gerald Celente, and now he's pointing out how the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and other entities which were supposed to facilitate these transactions were not honoring their obligations and not keeping a proper eye on this. And look who pays. It's always the customer, just as they steal from the pension funds, the retirement benefits, and all the rest of it. And then you have places like Bank of America getting their $75 trillion in derivatives, somehow FDIC insured. I mean, this is going to be a big problem when the music stops and they call them on these bets and they don't have the money. It's going to be our money that's gone. Patrick Henningsen, I hope you're still on the line with us. Tell us what you think about this.
Yeah, I'm still here, Aaron. Look, what you have with MF Global, like what you have with a lot of institutions now, it's a Ponzi scheme. They basically move the money around and they pay out. When your gold contracts come up and you're expecting delivery for gold or silver, they'll take the money out of someone else's account in order to get that. Obviously, the people, like you said, the insiders got word early. They got their money out. But it's the middle class or the upper middle class or the small to medium-sized investor that's been wiped out. There's been a big trend in the last few years, and a lot of it is up to the work that you've been doing and Ted Anderson and people like that. People have been getting into sound money. They've been getting into gold and silver. And my personal friend of mine was building a nest egg for his children, so they had some inheritance when he passes away eventually or whatever. He's got a future for his kids. That future has been wiped out this week to the tune of $150,000. And what it is also, it's basically, I believe the MF Global takedown was a planned takedown. They managed to knock out a huge section of the middle class and people who are into metals and who are into safe commodities and smart investors. They've been knocked out. And a lot of that is that's part of the trend that we're seeing all over the place. It's the elimination of the middle class, and any new regulations that come to play will be coming to play to hurt the small banks, the regional banks, the credit unions, the middle class investors, the small businesses. This is what the globalists want to annihilate. They want to smash that up into as many small parts as they can so that it's a rigged game. You got to have money to make money. You cannot work your way up the system. A middle class is a feature of an advanced civilization. Once you lose the middle class or the upwardly mobile class, then all you're left with is a giant underclass and a very small elite class. And that is the process that we are seeing right now. These things do not happen by accident. I don't believe they do. And I think even that you probably have quite a few listeners out there who are listening to this show right now who also lost money in this recent takedown. So I think, I don't know what to say. It's gutting.
No, I agree entirely, and you're totally right. They're wiping out the middle class while they're reconsolidating wealth for that ultra-rich, and it seems like only the crooked rise to the top. Well, all I could say is we're going to stay tuned on this. Rob Dew was already planning to cover in-depth all this stuff on MF Global and its related scandals with J.P. Morgan and all the rest of it. And I don't know if Salente will be in contact, but we're going to try to see if he has anything else to add on what he's calling the smoking gun that the CME group was supposed to be guaranteeing these transactions. And it's all falling apart now. And like you said, ordinary investors, medium-level investors and so forth, people trying to plan for the future, that's who's getting wiped out. Or if, as they report, maybe taking a 40% haircut, Patrick?
Yeah. I mean, look, haircut or no haircut, the word insider trading used to be considered a crime. It used to be something that you could actually catch people for. The global racetrack casino economy that we have right now, it is all insider trading. Washington, insider trading. Congressmen have immunity from insider trading laws. That's come out also this week, with the 60 Minute report earlier in the week. Look, it's all insider trading. There's no rule of law in the global financial casino. I cannot walk into a casino in Vegas with and, you know, put a $1,000 bet down on the blackjack table and buy it for $10. You know, but yet, if you're in Wall Street, you can do this. And who's going to pick up the tab if there's a loss? The taxpayer will pick up the tab, or will pay for it in the form of inflation. So the whole game is rigged, and all these Occupy Wall Street people, and Occupy London people, they need to take a look at the monetary system. That should be the primary focus: how money is created, how debt is created. If they're not doing that, they're personally, I think they're wasting their time. They need to get educated on the history of money. You can watch The Money Masters for free on YouTube. There's a lot of great films out there. Freedom to Fascism by Aaron Russo. If you know about these things, you need to start passing them right now to people who don't know about these things. And people need to get educated. Otherwise, you're in the dark. And if you're in the dark and you're complaining that you don't like the system, then I can't have a lot of sympathy for you, because the information is out there. We live in a digital information age. People need to start taking advantage of that now. So if you have this info, get it out to your friends, get it out to your family, because they might actually be in line to be knocked out in an MF Global type collapse in the future with another institution. You need to get ahead of the curve. Don't be behind the curve, get ahead of the curve. And that's what we're trying to do here. That's what the whole effort with the information war is about, is to get people ahead of the curve.
You hit the nail on the head, Patrick. I've never heard you so on fire. It is an information war. That's why you need to get this rebroadcast out about all the censored geoengineering and chemtrail information, all the hidden science, elite, scientific dictatorship information, and the police state information that's consuming us in the midst of this global economic meltdown crisis that they have rigged for their exclusive advantage to bring the rest of us down. Thank you very much for joining us, Patrick. Keep us tuned on Occupy Wall Street, on this global situation, and all the other things you cover at your website, 21stCenturyWire.com, as well as for Infowars.com and other publications that you contribute to. Thanks so much. Get the rebroadcast out, and definitely tune in for the Infowars Nightly News tonight, because we're going to cover all this breaking MF Global information. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.